Think of the island like a record spinning on a turntable. Only now, that record is skipping. That record is skipping. That record is skipping.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Don't chase me, bro. Don't chase me. I can't.
I think we just crossed the line.
Give it up, what? Woo! Do not leave a brother hanging.
That's what I'm talking about,
son. I only paid for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
I have one thing to say. All girls are shady.
Whoa!
There it is.
And now, how do you feel about No Cussing Week?
Bad.
Why?
Because I like cussing.
What do you have to say to the kid who's trying to start No Cussing Week?
You.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, how you gotta work blue, little kid?
The yeah, youth of
no
America.
Kidding. Come on. How does a little kid have to work blue?
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Monday, the 9th of March. Bow, bow.
Well, sounds sexy.
I had money on it being 4:30 at Kevin's house today. I'm very surprised to see you. I gotta be honest.
Daylight savings time. I was all over it.
Saving.
All over. I was thinking saving. Saturday night, daylight savings time, and I wrote myself
saving.
A note, daylight savings time.
Did you make saving. That second S really big?
I did, yes.
Savings time.
I put, saving.
I put like three notes around the house so that I wouldn't forget.
I did the same thing.
Remind myself, daylight savings.
Yes.
Saving.
And so then I remembered, so it was all cool because it was daylight savings time.
Sure, savings. Sure seemed like yesterday went by fast, though, didn't it? When you looked up last night and you realized it was like 8 o'clock, you said, how is it possible that today is gone already?
Yeah, but then I remembered daylight savings time.
And, it is weird that an hour would make such a difference, but it really does.
I'm going to ask the dumbest question, but it occurred to me that I don't understand why we do it now. The days are getting longer. Why do we need more light at the end of the day? I don't understand that.
Because we're heading into spring where the days are going to be getting longer naturally anyway, so soon we'll get that daylight back in the morning that we're losing now. But the thought is that you can do more stuff without running as much, using as much electricity at night because you're having longer days. That's the thought anyway. Huh. You don't have to turn your lights and stuff on until much later.
Who came up with daylight savings?
Saving. Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. I think we should rethink it. It's been a long time since Ben came up with that idea.
A lot of people agree with you. There are an awful lot of people who think it's a terrible idea and it's a big fat waste of time and it's confusing and complicated and we don't need it.
Doesn't seem like we do. And I've heard that it doesn't really make a difference in terms of electricity being saved, too.
I've heard that it's not a slam dunk, that's for sure.
Savings is in the word, Lisa.
Saving.
Good point.
For God's sakes.
Let me tell you how I celebrated the time change weekend. First, by the way, we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 on any topic. It's the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew. Saturday morning, first I ran 2.5 miles barefoot, which, by the way, you know, as you guys know, I've been training for.
Right.
And then I had to crawl on the ground under 1/2 mile of barbed wire.
Wow.
I did that, yeah. And then, Mike, what was the third thing I did? I don't remember what the third thing was.
It was a ladder crawl, like monkey bars.
And then I had to do monkey bars, like a ladder crawl, monkey bars.
The whole thing took like an hour, right?
Oh, well, I did mine.
You must have been exhausted, Bean.
I did mine in 48 minutes.
Oh,
how long did it take you, Mike? Do you remember?
A little over an hour, yeah.
Wow, are you slow?
He smoked me.
Yeah. What place did you come in, Bean? There are like 50 people competing, I heard.
Well, I mean, technically, I think I ended so far ahead of them that they didn't even count me. I think they started first place after I was already done because I was already back home. I was already back home by the time the other guy crossed the finish line for the first time.
He's making fun, but the guy who started this whole thing, he finished so far ahead of everybody that he just didn't count himself.
Seriously?
Yeah. He
really?
Literally didn't. He's like,
so you actually
he's
finished
like, well, I mean, you know, I won, but I'd like to congratulate the real winner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So how was it for you, Mike, when you did it?
It was good. Like Lisa said, I guess I finished 8th, but out of the people besides the creator, I finished 7th out of the 50
That's
or so people that
pretty
finished.
Impressive.
That's not bad.
I have to say.
And they were all about in their 60s, 70s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple guys were on, like scooters, those little senior citizen scooters.
Sure.
There's a lot of breathing tubes,
oxygen.
Stuff like that. So, you know, I was an elite group.
Sure. Did it hurt?
Yeah, it did.
Was it miserable?
I don't want to say miserable because I knew I was doing something kind of positive and and doing something beneficial. So, but there was a point, and I was like, I was telling Lisa, we're about halfway through, where I thought, I can't do this. I mean, I can't go on. So,
was this to raise money for charity?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just walk. and they raise a lot of money for charity.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm super happy that you can get that added benefit of raising money for charity, but I definitely did this for me.
It's a personal challenge.
The gratification of knowing that I could finish, yeah.
And who knows? You know, there might be some time where you have to do that to survive.
Yeah, look, that's going to happen.
So, and then we'll all be looking at Mike going, darn, wish I'd done the thing with the ladders.
He sure was right.
Very insightful.
Maybe
Lisa.
He could carry me on his back as he crawls under the wire.
When the poo-poo hits the fan and Armageddon comes, who are you going to turn to?
You're the man.
That's right.
Ghostbusters?
When we're barefoot and there's mud.
Specific conditions.
I'm going to be in charge.
But Mike could be the man.
All right.
I'm not sure what kind of natural disaster creates guys that are barefoot and in mud, but if it happens, all right, Mike, we're going to look to you to lead, dude.
You will be the man. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
What a prize we have for you today. I'm very excited. You know, Kevin, blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. Plus, your hands are trapped inside. That's okay, why...
If blankets slip and slide, then how come your hands are trapped inside?
Well, I'm not...
Because if a blanket slips and slides, by its very nature, it's not... You're not trapped.
But it slips and slides around you, but it doesn't mean your hands are free. You're still under your hands.
It doesn't let go of your hands.
Right.
Well, the Snuggie is what we're talking about. It keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands, work the remote, use your laptop, or do some reading in total warmth and comfort. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you a Snuggie for being on the air this morning at 1-800-520-1067, which I couldn't be more excited about. I don't know how the world has survived with only blankets up until the 21st century, but thank God we've evolved past that.
All right, let's start with Mike in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, fellas. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Mike?
What it do? Did you guys catch the UFC Rampage versus Jardine, where Rampage just dominated Jardine on Saturday night?
Well, I bought the fight, which was, I think, $54.
Yeah, and?
And then didn't record it.
Oh, my
what?
God.
So I didn't get to see it, really, as much as just pay for it.
Dude, that's BS.
I did pay for it, didn't get to see it.
Wow.
So Rampage kicked his ass?
Yeah, it wasn't a title fight, so it was only one of those three-round fights.
Right.
But throughout the whole three rounds, I would say almost all three rounds, Rampage was just dominating him. And right before the horn went off in the third round, Rampage almost near knocked him out. And then at that last second, the horn went off, and they gave him the decision unanimous anyways. But that knockout, almost the near knockout at the end, was just ridiculous.
Good times.
Sure wish I would have seen that. That would have been cool.
That sounds like a good fight.
You get a Snuggie, dude.
Congratulations.
That's how your day is going. That's the start of a new week right there. That's not even 6 o'clock in the morning. That guy already has a Snuggie. I mean, come on.
Let's go to Albert in Walnut. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. What'd it do?
Saw Watchmen over the weekend.
Yes.
Great movie. And I gotta thank Zack Snyder for finally giving us superhero sex on the screen.
Yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it? In that gay little owl spaceship thing.
I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at Malik, of course.
No, I know. I hear you.
But for whatever reason, people are actually complaining about sex on screen. Come on.
Really? What? They are?
On the internet. I guess all the geeks just can't handle it.
It's rated R. I mean, if there isn't that, I'm complaining.
Yeah, well, I thought the R rating was mostly for violence, though, I thought, for this movie.
There was a lot of that,
I knew there was a sex scene.
Oh, yeah.
So who has sex in the sex scene, Albert?
It's Night Owl and Silk Spectre.
Sweet.
Or as we like to call her, Silk Camel Toe. yeah, she's pretty hot. She was pretty hot. And Night Owl, gay.
Now, Night Owl's not the one that you can see through that walks around with the blue penis.
No, that's Dr. Manhattan. And man, does he have a blue penis.
Really?
And it's gigantic and just right there all movie long.
That's so weird.
Yep.
If Night Owl is gay, why is he having sex with the Silk Spectre?
I didn't mean gay. I meant...
Yeah.
You know.
That's you know, kind of gay.
Superhero.
Yeah, he's a wiener. Yeah. He's a wiener.
There you go.
All right, let's go to Alex in Long Beach. Good morning, Alex.
What'd it do, Alex? I don't know if you guys saw the Golf Channel yesterday.
Nope.
Tiger Woods come back, and T.O., they showed like an ESPN that T.O. got traded to the Bills. I don't know if you guys know that.
I know that T.O. was getting released by Dallas. I didn't see who he went to. He went to Buffalo?
The Bills. And his statement, you guys should have heard it, they made fun of him because he said he's glad to be traded to a North American team.
What?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't get traded. He was released and then was picked up by Buffalo.
Right.
But yeah, he said, I went from America's team to North America's team.
Yeah.
Well, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Exactly. And the guy made fun of him. He's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll get back to golf.
Well, I hope he records a new song. That's all. That's the only thing I'm holding out for is there's a new song about how great Buffalo is.
When you get dissed on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
That's saying something. All right. Where else should we go? Any more?
I think we can call it a day right there and move on and talk about today's exceptional Kevin and Bean show, if I do say so myself. This is a big one.
It is. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Great. Mm-hmm.
We're going to replay the interview that we had with Gwen Stefani on Friday afternoon at 5, if you didn't hear that. She's fantastic, and they're
she's
back.
She's the
and
best. Yeah. I love really her so is. Much.
Let's see. What else do we have? We have comedian Patton Oswalt in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Talking about his recent stint on Flight of the Conchords.
He was so good on that.
As an Elton John impersonator. Very funny.
Such a good show.
And we have a little guy by the name of Dave Gaughan. Dave, my name is Dave Gaughan. It's spelled G-A-H-A-N, but he says Gaughan.
Gaughan. Gaughan. The H is silent.
It's not really Gaughan, but it's just Gaughan.
He would know, I guess. And, of course, 2009 is shaping up to be a very big Depeche Mode year. They got a new album coming out. They got a big tour that we'll talk about. So, yeah, Dave back on the program. He's one of my all-time favorite guests, by the way. I love this dude.
Yeah, he's always great.
Absolutely.
He's awesome.
Plus, we're going to continue planning details. Okay, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6 o'clock.
Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next hour. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, first time for a new week. How you doing, Ralph? How are you?
I'm swell. How you doing?
Fine.
You excited that Illinois has said Pluto's a planet? You excited
what?
About that?
They what?
Well, Illinois has announced that they still believe Pluto's a planet. They're not giving it up. Because Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered it, was an Illinoisian.
Wait, is that how you do it? You just decide whether you want it to be a planet or not?
Upstate Illinois is.
What's going on with this?
Nuh-uh, still planet. There, infinity. I'm rubber, you're glue. Shut up, Illinois.
A lot of listeners emailed me about that. They thought I should be excited, but I'm not because they don't decide. They're not the
right.
ones who decide. That would be like me deciding I've won an Olympic gold medal. It's not up to me to decide that. There's a committee for stuff like that, and unfortunately,
Nuh-uh.
The state of Illinois is not the committee.
Nuh-uh. Illinois says.
That's true.
Unfortunately, I realize there's a lot more beans out there than I thought. When I was off the air on Saturday night, I was driving home, and there's that show that's dedicated to all like supernatural stuff. It's a talk radio show, and
Is that the guy in Pahrump who sees aliens and whatnot?
Yeah, exactly. And
Art Bell.
They had an author on who wrote a book called Plutophile, The Rise and Fall of the Most Misunderstood Planet Solar System. And there was call after call after call after call of people who were super geeked about Pluto.
Yeah. It's a great book, by the way. I was actually going to pitch you guys that guy's
Nope.
Not
I thought maybe that's how it would go.
Yeah. You know why? Dumb topic.
Pluto. Hey, a lot of love for Pluto, man. Pluto is America's favorite planet. I don't know if you know that or not.
Not even a planet.
How dare you?
Well, America's favorite movie by far this weekend was The Watchmen. $55.7 million it made this weekend.
Kevin paid for it, but didn't go in to see it.
Yeah. That's his new technique.
Walked up to the box office, gave him his $10.
I just don't have time. I have to just pay for everything and not watch it.
I actually saw it and loved it.
Well, there you go.
Really good.
Although you think Night Owl's gay. I don't understand you whatsoever.
He's just dorky and just
so when he snapped that guy's arm through his skin and gave him a compound fracture kicking his ass, that wasn't very cool.
That guy couldn't do that.
Oh, he would wreck you. Night Owl would wreck you.
I have a question for you, Kevin. As a guy who has committed to memory, the Watchmen book, was it difficult for you to separate some of the differences on screen versus what you you're so used to reading the book over and over again?
Yes. I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. Think you'll get around to finishing the comic book now?
Absolutely. Now I have a head start.
Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail was number two at the box office this weekend, but it only made about $9 million. So number one, $55.7 million. Number two, about $9 million. Tells you where people were going this weekend to see a movie. Taken was number three, then Slumdog Millionaire Paul Blart. He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, Confessions of a Shopaholic, Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, and Fired Up. What's Fired Up, anyway?
A cheerleading movie.
Oh, right. That's right. Yes.
Ask Lisa what she went to see this weekend.
Lisa, what did you go to see this weekend?
Well, for the second time, I went to see He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, sweet heaven.
Thank you, Bean.
That isn't good for you.
Twice she's seen it now. Hey, that's how many times did you see Watchmen before you decided to go see He's Just Not That Into You again?
I'm not going to see Watchmen.
Right, but you don't have to go see that one again, do you?
Well, I had plans with a friend, and we don't really plan around a particular movie opening, and there's a particular theater that we like to go to.
You just show up whenever it's playing, that's what you see?
Pretty much.
It's movie roulette.
There just wasn't much playing besides Watchmen. I mean, Watchmen was in six of the theaters.
Right, so you said, let's go see Watchmen.
So I said, no, because
there must be something
you
going
all
on there.
Told me that since I've never read the comic book, I wouldn't understand it.
You would understand
you
enough.
That's what
all the reviews say. And that's what they've said to me, too. He's like, you would be so confused. Don't go.
Well, you might, yeah.
So I saw a movie that I love and enjoyed, and my friend hadn't seen it, and I was very happy to see it again.
Is this some sort of federal legal obligation or something?
It's
they have?
Good movie. Oh. It's actually a good movie.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. I'm surprised more people aren't going to see Jonas Brothers, a 3D concert experience, quite frankly.
Why?
So are they.
Because it's a monster band. I mean, the most popular teen pop stars in America. You'd think the movie would do better.
You would think just teenagers' repeat business would keep the box office up. But
it's almost dropped off. It's number nine on the list.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which leads me to my next story. Apparently, Emma Roberts, familiar with her? Julia Roberts' niece?
Hotel for Dogs.
She was in Hotel for Dogs. Yeah. She was in the Nancy Drew. She's been working.
She's adorable. How excited Mike was when he said Hotel for Dogs.
I tried to ignore it.
All right.
She's adorable little actress. Apparently, she had a huge crush on Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
That's the girl?
I don't know which one it is, Kevin. I don't know my Jonas's.
Drummer?
Teen Vogue did an interview with her, and she said the crush is over, however. Because she's noticed that he's making the rounds in Hollywood.
Oh, no.
So he's blown his chance with Emma Roberts. You mean he's not going to have a chance to not have sex with Emma Roberts while he's busy not having sex with other starlets? Damn!
How does a guy who's sworn off sex make the rounds or whatever?
He's sure holding a lot of hands.
Who makes the rounds less than that guy?
I hope he's using hand sanitizer because that's safe sex.
Apparently he talked to Taylor Swift on the phone for 20 minutes the other night.
He texted her, LOL, OMG. Oh my effing G. The tragedy just continues with this Travis Barker plane crash.
Oh, no. What's
Why,
more?
What?
This is just horrible. Apparently, Travis and Shanna Mokler are going to renew their vows and get married again.
Are you serious?
The tragedy just never ends.
Wow.
She tells you, Us Weekly magazine, that they've reunited, and they did so right after the plane wreck that left Travis severely burned, and that brought them back together. And now they're going to have another wedding and start all over again. Oh, sweet Jesus.
I almost feel like Travis is in some... He's on Lost and the island shook. And
that's
now he
right.
took a time machine back. He's in Blink-182 again. He's back with his
the
wife.
Flash! Like, it's flashing! My nose is bleeding. Yeah, that's all bad. And how do you compete against Vince Vaughn when your girlfriend takes a shine to him?
You know.
That's true.
You just don't. Go, I lose.
You know, Vince Vaughn just got engaged to his fiancée, Kyla Weber. She's a realtor. Here in Los Angeles, but she wasn't always. She's Canadian, you know.
Okay.
And apparently they met while she flew to Los Angeles to attend one of her friend's weddings. Vince Vaughn was also there. They met at the wedding. She goes back to Canada, dumps her boyfriend, and moves to Los Angeles to be near Vince.
And she did the right thing.
Ouch.
Was she invited to the wedding, or did he crash it? Do you know?
It's just not good.
Ooh.
Celebrities, they love to party.
I thought we were just doing everything and anything.
All right.
And lastly, you know, two big preseason injuries for Dancing with the Stars. Nancy O'Dell and Jewel both had to drop out.
Yes.
Right.
Last week I mentioned that it was in talks that Holly Madison, Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend from The Girls Next Door, would take over for Jewel.
Right.
That is now official. And now we know who's taking over for Nancy O'Dell. Melissa Rycroft.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, I know that name doesn't
star.
That name doesn't sound familiar to you because you didn't watch The Bachelor this season.
Oh, she was
what?
The
was she the one that he picked and then rejected?
Yes, Lisa.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Jason picked Melissa and then dumped her on national television and went back and picked the other one that he had dumped on national television before on national television.
Yeah.
So as a going away prize, Melissa Rycroft gets to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Not bad.
Yeah. Now, you know, reality television is now eating itself. It's just,
it is.
It's,
oh,
yeah. It's just so incestuous. But apparently she was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Oh.
So they figure she probably has a talent for choreography and picking up
sure, that makes
stuff
sense.
Quickly. She's got like 2 days to rehearse before she goes live on the show.
That's so fair.
So good luck, Melissa.
I hope they kick her off. Oh, no, they keep her, and then they
television.
Tell her that they kick her off.
That's right. Say, you're getting through. Oh, wait a minute. No, we've decided.
Just kidding.
Lil' Kim is going through instead.
Lisa, do you watch that show? Because I think it comes back tonight. Is that one of your programs?
I might this time. I skipped the last one, but I might this time just because of all the crazy people I have on
there. Yeah, dude.
That's the reason right there.
I do want to see Steve-O. It is tempting.
Yes.
I'm watching Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, last night?
Didn't.
I haven't watched it yet, but I am watching it.
Wow. Wow.
I almost did, Ralph, but it was 2 freaking hours again last night. I just didn't have that
worth
kind of
it.
Time.
Worth it.
Really?
Joan Rivers?
You can't believe her. You can't believe her. I don't have time to tell you all the stupid, inane, idiotic things she's... And her daughter. Oh, man.
Yeah, just pair, like,
I want to hit her in the face with one of those, you know, those little fireplace shovels that you use to clean ashes out of fireplace. Yeah. It's a little wrought iron. It looks like a little tiny snow shovel. It's like a little one. I just want to take and go, boom! Right on her head. That's what I want to do. And Dennis Rodman is just a lunatic ass. Tom Green could not be more annoying. It's a circus.
It is.
It's an entertaining circus.
Yeah.
I saw the first episode, the debut last week, and I hadn't really noticed that Dennis Rodman may actually be mentally challenged.
Oh.
I think he actually is like IQ 70, one of those guys.
It seems like he's got some damage.
Yeah.
It does.
A lot.
It's about making product. That's all he kept saying last night. I was like, oh, someone just buy him a tea. Product. We're not going to go product. Where's the product? Today's celebrity birthdays. Bow Wow is 22 years old today. Used to be Lil Bow Wow.
No longer
little anymore.
Grew up, huh?
Then he was lead singer for Bow Wow Wow.
I don't think
and
so.
And then he's now Bow Wow. He's 22 years old today. Brittany Snow from American Dreams.
Oh!
And the soon-to-be-seen spinoff of Gossip Girl called Rumor Gal.
I don't think you just made that up.
I think I just did. I don't think she's 23 years old today. Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek is 37 years old today. And Emmanuel Lewis. Remember Little Webster? Remember Tiny Little Webster?
Yeah. I remember when Michael Jackson took him to an award show.
Michael Jackson had him turned into a keychain, I think.
Yeah.
And he used to carry him around all the time. He is 38 now. Webster's 38.
Wow.
Yeah. He's now 400 pounds, but he's still 2 feet tall. It's a very strange look. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right. Let's say good morning to our old friend, Michael Jackson. Hey, Mike.
This is it.
I'm sorry?
This is it.
What Michael is referring to, if you don't mind, Michael, I'd like to play a little bit of your press conference where you were explaining that you were going to do 10 shows at the O2 Arena in London.
These will be my final show performances in London. This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. Because, I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And I love you. I really do. You have to know that. I love you so much.
Would you say, Michael, that this is it?
This is it.
That's what you would say.
This is not something else. This is this.
Okay.
This is it.
Now, why did you keep saying that?
Because this is it.
Right.
This is the final performances I'm having in London. This is it.
Okay.
This is it.
Now,
I love you.
Right.
But this is it.
When you say that this is it.
This is it.
Are you speaking only for London? This is it?
Yes.
So there might be it other places.
There may be other concerts, but as far as London goes, this is it.
Okay.
This is it.
All right.
This is it.
Or do you only mean at the O2 Concert Arena, this is it. If you wanted to play London again, could you come back and do Wembley Stadium?
No!
This is it.
This is it.
This is it. Mm-hmm. But okay. I would like to announce some other dates on the tour.
Oh, okay.
You guys have been very good to me over the years.
Yes, we have.
Take advantage of this opportunity to announce some other dates that I'll be doing. I will be performing also at the Chuck E. Cheese in Pomona, California.
No, you won't.
You can find me in the ballroom.
No, you won't.
And when I say ballroom.
No, Michael. Nope. No.
I'll be playing at the McDonald's Play Place.
No.
The playground at McDonald's on Ventura Boulevard this afternoon. If you'd like to come by and see me there.
And what do you mean by playing,
I'll be performing at Disneyland.
Performing at Disneyland. Okay.
Yes. In whatever the darkest ride is at Disneyland, probably Small World, Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll be on many of the boats performing.
You're going to be singing and have a band?
Whatever.
Okay.
Performing. I will be at Legoland sometime later this summer. Probably in the fireman ride.
Okay. These do
I
not
like the
seem.
Hoses.
Right, but these do not seem like
this
concert videos.
This is it. That's my only performance at Legoland.
But
this
what
it
sounds
is,
like is.
I love you, but this
right,
is it.
But Michael,
this
it sounds it. Like you're just trying to get little kids to come to wherever you are.
And please come see me at Ronhurst Elementary School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
No way.
I'm playing in the playground by the Jungle Gym around lunchtime. So I hope you'll all come.
You think you have a van?
I've got a pack of Rolos and a hood.
You're set. What else do you need?
And some chloroform.
Oh.
So please come by and catch the show. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Okay. This is disturbing.
This is it.
What are you saying?
This is it. I love you. This is it.
All right.
Okay. So this is it.
This is it.
All right.
This is it.
Thank you, Michael.
This is it.
All right.
This is it.
Thank you.
This is it.
All right.
This is it.
Bye. Bye. First, though, let's check out the hottest entertainment website in the world, TMZ.com. And Harvey Levin joins us on the phone. Good morning, Harvey. How are you? Hello, Harvey.
Harvey.
Hello.
Hey, Harvey.
Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Harvey. What's going on, dude?
Oh, you just dropped out. I didn't hear. I thought I was talking about No Doubt, and then I just went dead.
Yeah, that was I was pushing the wrong button over here, Harvey. Sorry.
Oh.
No problem.
That's my bad.
You'll get the hang of it.
Yeah.
we're new in this business.
Probably not.
Harvey, I'm so glad. I'm always glad when we have you on. I'm particularly glad today because Harvey comes to us from a unique perspective. He not only is pretty well versed with what the celebrities are doing, he's pretty well versed with the behind the scenes stuff that's going on, but he's also an attorney. And sometimes that comes in real handy. Like with every time we're talking about this Chris Brown Rihanna thing, I always appreciate your insight. This latest post on the subject at TMZ.com makes it sound like it may work against Rihanna that she was fighting back. Tell us about that.
Well, that's his position. We found out that, you know, Chris Brown wants to plea bargain this case. But, you know, it's all about what terms he's going to plea bargain them on. He wants to plead to a misdemeanor with no jail time, which sounds pretty radical, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So his position is that she started it, essentially, that after getting the text message, we know it's true that Rihanna was pissed. She slapped him. She told the cops, you know, that she had slapped him and possibly struck him several times while he was driving. And their position is that given that, even if Chris Brown was wrong, it's not a felony. So he's saying, you know, look, she started this thing. I overreacted, but that doesn't make it a felony. I was not the initial aggressor. So that's his position, and that's what he wants. Will the DA accept that? I don't think so, for a couple of reasons. They've had plenty of these cases where a woman gets angry, but you look at the superior strength of the two people, and there's no doubt, in most cases, and certainly this, the male has superior strength and can walk away. So you have that going against Chris Brown, and the DA has prosecuted a lot of these cases. And on top of that, she told cops he's done it before and that the violence was escalating.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, and worst of all for him, there is a series of photographs that were taken the day after the beating, which are just unbelievable. Nobody's seen these, and they are unbelievable.
They're of Rihanna?
Of Rihanna, yeah. Where the bruising has settled.
Yeah.
And it is monster-like.
Wow.
And,
right.
And you know, the DA has prosecuted plenty of these cases. So will he end up getting a plea with misdemeanor, no jail? That's what he wants. I would be really surprised.
I hope not.
What commonly happens on a first arrest on a charge like this?
Well, I mean, look, in his favor, you know, he's young. He had this going on in his family. He jumped and started taking anger management classes. You know, those things are all considered, you know, especially when, you know, if somebody is convicted, that's considered in terms of sentencing. And the DA would consider it, too, in terms of giving, you know, a plea. But the fact that she says he did it before and it was escalating, that it's not just, you know, one time, but,
right.
It's punching bag time, at least according to her, that's going to make it a different case.
All right. Here's the thing that also I've been dying to ask you about. I saw that video, and I guess very little was released of the court proceedings, and Rihanna's attorney looked extremely friendly with Chris Brown. They were shaking hands. Hey, good to see you again. How you doing? See you on the links. I mean, it seemed like it was not an adversarial relationship at all. What's that about?
Well, it's not. I mean, she's back with him.
Yeah.
She's back with him. So.
But isn't her attorney trying to do the best for his client, though?
But what is the best for his client? His client is her. He can't say, you know, Rihanna, you don't know what you're doing, and I'm going to do what you don't want me to do. He has to do what she wants him to do. She pays him.
Right.
She's the boss, and she's back with him. So, you know, it is an interesting situation. She would have to testify for sure, because there's no immunity or anything like that. So she is going to have to testify. The question is, what would she say if, you know, if she ends up on the stand, if this case ends up going to trial? But I think he made it clear that he's not going to be Chris Brown's adversary in court by any means.
Gotcha. So, in other words, Chris Brown's enemy is the state of California. That's who he's got to worry about, is whatever the district attorney wants to do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And again, the DA has a long track record in prosecuting cases exactly like this. I mean, one of the mistakes that people are making in looking at this is they're saying, oh, well, my God, she's back with him. How are they going to do it? They get these cases all the time. I mean, half the cases they get are where women go back. So this is a really common case.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you about one more thing, because you had hilarious coverage over the weekend. Again, we're talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com of Charles Barkley, the conquering hero, in his Nike tracksuit posing for photos, having a press conference. It was bizarre how much media attention there was for a guy being put into jail.
Well, it's bizarre until you realize who the sheriff is.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it does love publicity, right?
Yeah. I mean, the sheriff views this prisoner as a photo op. I mean, there's no doubt
about it. But what prisoner gets to have a press conference as he goes into jail?
A prisoner who's really famous when Joe can be standing by him.
Right. Yeah, and plus, he's only going in for 3 days.
Yeah, but
that makes a big difference, right?
I'm shocked you guys are asking me that.
I don't know. It struck me as I guess you're right. I guess the X factor here is Sheriff Joe, and of course he wants cameras, right?
He loves him the cameras.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, that's you can't. You guys have got to like look at the legal system for what it often is, and it's kind of sad. But you know, this is standard down there.
Now, was it a joke on your website, Harvey, when you said that he's reading The Complete Idiot's Guide to Learning Spanish?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was thinking, well, if Harvey knows that, then Charles must be on his payroll.
We can't even tell a little joke.
No, I just think I can never tell with you, because half the time you do have those sources.
Well, I know. It's so bizarre you would think it's true, but yeah. No.
That's funny.
All right. Good times. Anything else we need to know, or should we let you go to your meeting, Harvey?
Well, Amy Winehouse, you guys are doing Coachella, right?
Sure.
Yes. And she's not.
She's not going.
What?
Yeah.
She ain't going.
That's for sure?
I know. It's I apologize for being the buzzkill.
Wait a minute. Did they announce that for sure?
Yeah. She's not going to go because of this whole assault thing that she's got going. It's hard to leave the country with, you know, I'm sorry.
But it's not till mid-April.
I hate to break it to
you. But they have a month.
I'm not the lawyer. I'm not the judge.
Harvey.
I'm the messenger here.
Harvey, you know, can you make things happen? You have ways.
It's funny. We've been saying all along, at least I've been saying all along, that there was no way she was ever going to appear at Coachella. But I thought it was because of her, you know, drug and alcohol problem. And now it sounds like it's going to be legal difficulties that are going to prevent her from getting a visa. So either way, she's not going to be there, but not for the reason I thought.
Why don't you get Courtney Love? It's the same thing.
It is sort of.
Oh! Nice. TMZ.com is the website. The TV show is TMZ, of course, every weeknight at 6:30, Channel 11. Harvey, have a great day. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show.
See ya.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
Whatever happened to those guys, no doubt. Remember them? Wow.
Kinda.
You know, we got to talk to Gwen on Friday. We're going to give some highlights of that, and that occurs to us that we actually have a grand prize drawing to do today. Let's do it here.
Okay.
Should we? All right. This is great. We gave away tickets all weekend long as they were going on sale for their shows at the end of the tour at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and now we got a grand prize that is so spectacular. I'll save it and we'll tell the winner what it is.
It is too much.
It is too much. Yeah. You might as well be in the band when you get this much stuff. I mean, it's...
Rebecca?
Yes?
Pekka?
Yes?
It's Kevin and Bean. How are you? It's Rebecca from La Crescenta.
Yes?
You're our grand prize winner for No Doubt. And that means that you get to present No Doubt. You get 8 front row seats.
Oh, my God.
You get 8 backstage passes.
Uh-huh.
You get to present the show, which I believe means your name's on the ticket.
Yeah.
Your name is on the marquee out front. You're going to have dinner with the band.
Oh, my God.
And you get your own dressing room backstage.
Oh, my God.
That feels like too much, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Now, Rebecca, is there any chance that you are, in fact, a No Doubt fan?
Kind of a huge No Doubt fan.
Awesome.
Excellent. Awesome. Awesome.
That's good to hear because that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just people who
called and got lucky.
Yeah. So that's good news.
Well,
fabulous.
eight front row seats. You got that many people you can round up to go?
I think I might have that many friends.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot more all of a sudden.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm glad we got you. I know it's rarely good news when your phone rings at 6:30 in the morning. Rarely is it somebody calling to give you cool stuff. But in this case, you are the grand prize winner of the No Doubt Weekend. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Rebecca. We'll have somebody call you back.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode in the next hour.
Gone. Also, I think we've got our expert that we're going to talk to who's going to tell us what we need to know to safely or otherwise tase Beer Mug. So we're going to talk to him coming up after the news.
We're going to safely tase him. And then we're going to safely shoot him and then safely stab him.
That's correct. All three.
Right.
Okay. That is the plan. So that's coming up at the 7 o'clock hour right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What you talking about, Ralph?
Once again, Kevin's instincts proved to be unerring.
Really?
What?
Amy Winehouse will not be attending Coachella.
Yay!
Yeah, that's Music and Arts Festival in Indio, California this year.
I didn't say she wasn't going to drop out between now and then. I said she's going to show up. Well, I can't be proven wrong, really, until Coachella.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
When she shows up.
So she may just get a wild hair and say, I'm going.
That's
screw this. Apparently, in light of her current legal issues, which include an assault charge for allegedly attacking a fan at a party in London last September, she just can't get into the U.S., according to her people. Being charged with a crime often makes it difficult for people to get U.S. visas, claim her staff and management.
Sure.
You think that England would be so happy to get rid of her? Like, they must have been bummed when she came back from vacation. Now they get an opportunity to unload her on us? Why wouldn't they?
Because she's sure to slap someone here, and then we'd have to hold her for a while.
Well, we'd just send her back to St. Lucia.
But that'd be fun.
Don't they have a jail in St. Lucia?
Probably
put her in?
Must.
Sure.
You have to remember, last year, the U.S. government did decline to give her a visa to attend the Grammy Awards because of her legal issues.
That's right, and she had to do it on satellite.
Right, so they may have a point, but it looks like she will not be attending Coachella as originally announced.
That's the update as far as now.
She's not going to Coachella either.
I gave her a 1% chance from the day it was announced of making that festival.
Kevin's holding fast.
David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, it's not till mid-April, but thank you for
that. Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, where is there...
It's sure, we'll be giving them away, too, eventually, but not till around the showtime.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
Yes.
Or can
tonight.
I just go down there?
Yes.
We're not giving away tonight, Dave.
Just go down there.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Yes. Know. You're going to have to check with the hotel.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Thanks, Dave.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Not even playing, Dave.
Not playing. No. Sorry. Thank you.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
It's Sounds like a website question. You might want to go to Marriott.com.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
No, it's a three-day festival. It's going all the time.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that about you. Yeah.
Well, Coachella may have lost a bit of its shine this year. However, Lollapalooza is picking up steam. Kings of Leon have just been added to the headlining list for awesome Lollapalooza speed this year. So far, that means you got KOL, Jane's Addiction, Depeche Mode, Beastie Boys.
That's pretty big.
Those are the headliners for Lollapalooza.
It's a, is that still a three-night thing, or is it a
It is August 7th through 9th.
Yep, three nights.
So it is three nights at Chicago's Grant Park. And, yeah, the full lineup will be announced in April, but still, sounds pretty great.
I went there last year for Rage Against the Machine, and that park is 75 miles long.
It's a big park.
And they have stages at each end. You will walk your ass off.
It's a big park.
You will not have an ass if you go.
Wow. You literally will lose your ass.
That's correct.
Ashley Simpson-Wentz. Why do people keep giving her jobs?
That is a great question.
What kind of job?
She's got a new TV series, Lisa
Are
May.
Are you serious?
Ashley Simpson-Wentz will be starring on the new updated Melrose Place. Of course, they're having great success over there on the CW with their revamped 90210, so they're bringing back Melrose Place, and it looks like Ashley Simpson-Wentz will be starring on that TV.
You know, that seems unlikely.
No, it's true. She'll be playing a small-town girl who's a recent transplant to Los Angeles, but she comes to the town with a secret.
Uh-oh.
No, nose job?
She's married to a Fruit Loop. That's her secret.
Not much of a secret.
No, not exactly. So, there you go.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Ashley Simpson's not playing Coachella,
she's
Rodney,
ever
for God's
sake.
Isn't it rough when your parents give you embarrassing gifts for the holidays? Well, according to Elle Magazine, that's what happened to Zac Efron. Last year, there were photos of Zach and Vanessa Hudgens browsing the aisles at a adult-themed store, a sex boutique.
Right.
Remember when that story broke?
Sure.
Well, apparently, Zach's mom took it to heart and gave him a hefty supply of condoms for Christmas last year after the photos were published.
Ugh. Wow.
You don't want that from your mom?
No, you do not. He swore to his mom after the gift that the situation wasn't what it looked to be. It was right before Halloween, so he said he and Vanessa were just checking out the costume selection at the store. They weren't looking for sex toys or anything like that.
Right. He's trying to convince his mom he's not having sex?
Yeah, apparently.
All right.
His mom responded, "These condoms are for you and Vanessa. These condoms are for the men you have sex with, Zach."
Oh, oh.
She said.
Come on.
Reportedly.
Oh, my gosh, that campfire is so beautiful.
It sure is beautiful. Congratulations to Burn Notice. The ratings are in. It is the most successful series on cable this season.
I love that show. I just watched the season finale. It was awesome.
I have yet to catch an episode, but I'm looking forward to it.
I think you'd like it.
I think I would, too. I didn't even realize. It stars Jeffrey Donovan and Gabrielle Anwar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's amazing.
I didn't realize until just recently that Bruce Campbell's also one of the stars.
Yep.
And he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I loved him.
That's a good show.
Army of Darkness and all those great movies he did with Sam Raimi. So I went to check it out, but apparently it pulled in 6.1 million total viewers last episode.
That's really good.
Crushing the usual hit for basic cable, which is The Closer, but it beat out The Closer this year. Wow. So,
isn't this like a second or third season?
Second
season, yeah.
Is it a crime show or what is it? What is
spy show.
Spy that gets burned, which means he gets completely cut off from the people he was working for. And now he's got to find out who burned him. And in the meantime, somehow make a living helping people that are having terrible problems.
If you can find him.
Despite
maybe
Lisa's,
you can hire.
Despite Lisa's description, I'm still looking forward to seeing it.
And they blow up things. No, and Gabriel Anwar is an explosives expert.
It's okay. It's okay, honey.
It's really good.
And a sad ratings news. Apparently, daytime's hottest TV show is now The View.
Really?
Oh, dear God, no.
Nielsen says the show has an average of 4.2 million viewers, which is the highest it's ever had.
Not my cup of tea.
Not mine either. But people are watching in droves. I can't understand it.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's... before we do that, let's get to the top 10 movies of the box office. Since it is Monday, we do it every Monday morning. Watchmen, number one by a long shot. $55.7 million it made this week.
His penis sure was blue.
He sure has a big blue penis. He's flopping around there, flying around, old, being old Dr. Manhattan-y.
That sure does happen.
He sure shows off his penis.
That's a big one.
His girlfriend gets to have a three-way with him twice, though. That was interesting. While he's working in the lab. Late one night. Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail was number two at the box office and only made $8.8 million, but it was good enough to keep it number two. Taken was number three, then Slumdog Millionaire Paul Blart Mall Cop. He's just not that into you.
Yay!
Which Lisa saw for the second time this weekend.
My theater was full.
Yeah.
It was a small theater.
Of it. Yes!
Oh, bird!
Yes!
There's your bird notice right there, Lisa.
Yes!
Caroline was seven. Confessions of a Shopaholic was eight. Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, was number nine. And Fired Up, rounding out your top ten at the box office. Today's celebrity birthdays, Emmanuel Lewis, Little Webster. Little tiny Webster. He's 38 years old now.
Yeah.
Little Webster is. Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek. Is that the one your wife had a big crush on, B? Kerr Smith?
Yes, she sure did. He played the gay guy on the show.
Yeah, he's 37. Brittany Snow.
She's attracted to that type.
Yeah, she sure loves the gay guys. Chingy turns 27 years old today.
Right on.
Brittany Snow from American Dreams and the upcoming spinoff of Gossip Girl on CW is 23 years old. And Bow Wow turns 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's just a little tase.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly my point.
It's not like it's a major tasing. It's just a tase. It's a taste of tase.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock Monday morning 7:12. By the way, how will Depeche Mode spend their summer? We've got details on that. Plus, we'll talk to Dave Gahan himself coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Look, I know that I am late to the party, Kevin. I know that you've been loving on the tase for years. And I recently have discovered the fun of tasing. Maybe it was the retired policeman that turned me on to it.
Who wants to get tased?
Excuse me?
They just give us tasers. Let's go tasey crazy.
Oh, no, thank you.
Come on, let me tase your butt.
No, you can't tase my butt.
How about your ball sack?
Well, that's worse.
Not for me.
So we started thinking about how awesome tasing is, and it's been a long time since we've seen anyone get tased. And then we thought, hey, we've got Beer Mug. He's the guy that we get to eat the bad things and lick the bad things and do the bad things when we think it's going to be funny, right? And now all sorts of people are like, oh, it's dangerous. Oh, people can get hurt. Oh, you guys are not professionals. You don't know what you're doing. Well, I'm happy to say that we do have a professional on the line who can talk us through the reality of this possibility. And his name is Mark. He is a police officer and a taser instructor. Mark, thanks so much for emailing us last week, and thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Anytime, guys.
So let me start with this. Tasers, stun guns, not the same thing, right?
No.
What's the difference?
They're not. The stun guns are the older models of taser, which was originally designed by Tasertron, and they basically only affect the nervous system and basically just hurts like hell. The newer tasers, they affect not only the nervous system, but also the motor system as well. So they basically incapacitate you by taking over your muscles. You can't move.
Which are the ones that are like the fish hooks that go into your skin?
Those are the tasers, the new tasers.
That's the new one. Okay.
So do those hurt like hell too?
I'm sorry?
You said that stun guns hurt like hell. What about tasers?
They do. The stun guns hurt, but the tasers, not only do they hurt, but they override your motor nervous system. So you really don't have too much control over your muscles.
So you're kind of paralyzed.
Exactly.
Awesome. But it's safe, right?
Yes, it is safe.
Yes. It's safe.
You can say that.
I wasn't expecting that answer at all.
It's safe, of course.
Let's talk about this, Mark. Now, you're a police officer. You use tasers out on the street when needed, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how frequently does a police officer get to use a taser?
it depends on where you work and what you're dealing with. I think I've only tased five or six people in the last 5 years or so.
Wow, you got to step it up.
You know? So is it the type of thing that there's some trepidation to tase because there's a chance of injury? Is it like a last resort if a suspect can't be contained any other way?
No. No. There's different force policies that different departments use, and there are certain situations that you're allowed to use it, and you know certain situations where you're not.
Uh-huh. Every once in a great while, and Beer Mug, the victim of the tasing that we hope to do, he's quick to bring this up. You'll read a tragic story about somebody who gets tased and never wakes up from it. I mean, that should that concern us at all?
Unless he's on a massive amount of drugs or alcohol at the time.
Oh, man.
That's bad news. We got to pick someone else.
We heard if you have a heart condition that maybe hasn't been diagnosed, that might be a problem.
Well, it may be a problem. It may be, but generally speaking, the taser itself is safe.
Okay. It is safe. Okay. And how long do the effects of being tased last, Mark?
They don't last at all. Once it's done, it's done.
Oh.
So as soon as the current stops going through, what is it, like 5 seconds or something like that?
You know what? You can shut it off really at any time. But, yeah, if you let it go the full five-second cycle, it's 5 seconds.
How long can you make it? Like, could you make it like 25 seconds if you wanted?
You could.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, Mark. On a scale of 1 to 100, how safe would it be for us to tase a guy?
100.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's the answer I'm looking
for. Now, is 100 the safest or is that the...
The safest.
Safest. Okay.
That's the same. And can you, first of all, have you ever been tased? Is that something they do to you in the academy?
Yes, I've been tased numerous times.
Can you describe for us what it feels like?
It sucks.
Okay.
I'm starting to get the idea you're not actually a police officer, Mark.
Yeah. It's not fun at all.
You're a taser instructor and it sucks is all you can give us?
I mean, do you feel like you're blacking out or what do you feel like?
No, you don't black out at all. You experience 100% of it all live and it sucks and you're more than with it to remember it. So, but once it's done, though, it's done. I mean, it's not uncommon to tase a suspect, and then once it's over, if they elect to fight, they're just continue fighting.
So you're saying that we could tase him more than once and still be 100% safe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Wow. Okay. Well,
excellent.
Great. What are the restrictions on obtaining a taser? Would it be something that we'd be able to get our hands on?
You can. Taser International actually sells a civilian version of it. It's not as powerful as
we need the real one though.
Yeah, you need to bring us a regular one.
We might be able to work that out.
We need to meet you in a Vons parking lot someplace. Drop it off in a brown bag.
This is nothing but good news. All right, Mark, here's another question for you. When we first started talking about this last week and we picked out Beer Mug as our potential victim, there were those who called and said you have to be very careful where you tase. There are certain areas of the body that it is not safe to tase. Do you know anything about that?
There are certain areas of the body where they discourage you from tasing, the groin area, your eyes, that type of thing. There are vital areas you don't really want these darts to hit,
sure.
but there's nothing really that they say that you can't tase.
Okay. All right, then.
So we're going to tase him in the eye.
One in the eye and one in the balls.
One in the balls, right. Now, Beer Mug, clearly, and I think you guys will agree with me, should never reproduce anyway. He should not have children. Is there a chance that we can make him sterile by tasing him?
No.
Really? What if we repeatedly tase him there?
No.
According to Mark, there's just nothing bad that could ever possibly happen Mark. With the taser.
This is the best.
I wish Mark were the guy that we run all of our ideas by. He's awesome. He's so the opposite of an attorney. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he is.
Because we haven't cleared this with management yet, but we have this horrible feeling that we're going to get all this work done, and then we're going to get right down to seconds before we put the taser to the skin, and some attorney is going to walk through the door and say, oh, no, there's liability. Oh, there's potential damage here. Don't do it. Which would suck. So we need to maybe
sign a waiver. It's all good.
Yes,
that's what we're saying. A sign a waiver, exactly.
Mark is a taser instructor, and he says it's all good.
Yep,
it's all good.
If I can quote him.
Well, Mark, you have really made our day. I'm so happy to hear the information that you have for us, and we totally have to make this happen now. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
Look at that. Come on.
Best.
Nope, 100% safe.
We have Dave Gahan coming up next, and all we care about is that guy says it's safe to tase Beer Mug.
Let's tase Dave Gahan while we're at it. It's not daylight saving time. It's Depeche Mode time, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Hit it, Steve.
Wow.
All this week, see Depeche Mode at the Boulevard and the Bowl.
Listen to K-Rock all this week. This is the only place that you can score tickets to see us.
Win your tickets to Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl, August 16th and 17th. Tickets go on sale Sunday at 10. And because you love them so much, you're going to get tickets to see them again. When they shut down Hollywood Boulevard and play Jimmy Kimmel Live.
K-Rock has the hookup at the Hollywood Bowl, plus see us on Hollywood Boulevard.
Keep listening to win.
Hi, this is Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode.
Let me show you
bloody sticky blow.
Yep, Depeche Mode is back. Their 12th studio album is called Sounds of the Universe. It comes out on Tuesday, April 21st, and we just announced this morning tickets to the Hollywood Bowl are going on sale this Sunday at 10 for those shows on August 16th and 17th. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave Gahan. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good.
Good morning to you. You resurface like a whale every couple of years. You go underwater. We don't hear you. We don't see you. We don't know where you are. We don't know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back, and it's Depeche Mode mania all over again.
Yeah, I have to. You know, I have to go under there to reinvent myself every time. You know, you got to go underwater sometimes, haven't you?
Right. Sounds of the Universe. What are you writing about? What is Martin writing about? Where are you guys at right now? What's the theme of the record?
Yeah, you know, this record was actually, dare I say, fun to record.
Wow.
No, you can't go that far, dude.
Well, you know, it still has its elements of like darkness, but the actual process was a lot of fun, and it was sort of a joy working with Martin, to be honest. He was he showed up to work, and we really just got on with it, and we got to share the palette a little bit as well, and that was quite different actually from, you know, the previous album, where I kind of barged my way in the door and said, hey guys, I got some songs too.
Right.
And
you did that, two or three in the last album.
There was three on the three. Last album, and I've ended up with three on this one too.
Okay.
Oh, great.
So I'm doing pretty good.
When you've got a guy like Martin, who obviously you respect as a songwriter, you've been singing his words for 25 years, is it what's it like for you when you walk in there with songs? Do you kind of feel like, you know, like you're a kid going to dad for some approval, or what's the mindset like?
A little bit. It's a bit like that, to be quite honest. You know, it is. It's like, you know, look, you know, I painted this. Look, what do you think? And, you know, expecting him to correct me. But, you know, that's not how you tie your shoelaces, that kind of thing. But,
sure.
You know,
do you start singing it and just kind of watch him for any kind of a response, you know, shaking his head no or something?
You know what? You're very lucky if you get any kind of response out of Mark, to be honest. And, you know, I've started to realize it's not personal.
Okay.
And after all these years, the penny has finally dropped. And, you know, it's just the way Mark is. And to be honest, he was way more forthcoming with what he felt about things on this album than I think he's ever been.
You know, it's so funny, Dave. I just chuckled when you talked about how it was fun, because as much as I love your band, I never think the word fun in conjunction with Depeche Mode. You guys aren't exactly roller coasters and balloon animals, you know?
Oh man. You know, we do have a lot of fun. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, look, there's an element to our music that's slightly dark, I suppose. But there's always humor in there. I mean, you just got to look a little harder for it. I mean, come on, surely you guys had a little chuckle when you first heard Wrong, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we did. We did, actually. That was
Wrong!
That song.
I mean, you could be using that for everything.
That's correct.
For the next 10 years.
Can we use it against you in this interview?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good. That song has taken over K-Rock. The first single from the new Depeche Mode album, Sounds of the Universe, again, comes out. The album comes out April 21st. We have Dave Gahan on the line. Is called Wrong. It is a great song, and I know how important it is that the first one back after a while really makes an impact. Mm-hmm. This one is taken off like crazy. I mean, all over the world, this thing's a big hit already.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised by that, to be honest. I mean, we chose this song for exactly those reasons you talked about, because we felt it was like the most kind of like, I don't know, I guess challenging thing that we'd done out of everything we'd done for this record. But we knew also that it wasn't like the song that maybe everybody will be singing along to, you know, 6 months from now. Because I think there are a lot of songs on this album that are more in that kind of like... you know, that form, if you like.
Right.
You know, there's some other songs that I think are much, much more kind of, let's just say, the kind of songs that, you know, you'll remember as Depeche Mode songs in the future. But this one, there was something about it, and we didn't really even question it. It was just, you know, we all kind of were on the same page with it being the first thing we wanted to do.
There have been so many advances in technology, so many things that you can do with computers, so many tricks in the studio. Has Depeche Mode changed the way they go about making records in the last few years, or do you kind of stick to the way you've always done it?
Well, you know, I think with the last couple of records, I think there was sort of, there's been a fire lit under our butts by producer Ben Hillier, to be honest. I think he's been constantly inspiring with these last two records that we've done. I'm talking about Playing the Angel and now Sounds of the Universe. And really, I think this album was an extension on the last album where we began with him. He just kind of like, he came into the studio with this attitude of, you know, getting on with it, and whatever's been in the past, like, forget about it, and let's just, like, look at the songs that we got and get the best out of them possible, and that's going to take some work from you guys, and I'm going to make you work. And mm-hmm. there's something about Ben and the way he produces that you know, you follow him. He's very knowledgeable and when it comes to music, and very charming in a very English way.
Uh-huh. Do you still have the recording studio in New York? That's where you did your stuff?
Yeah, that's where I write, and I kind of go there every day, and you know, when I'm at home, and try and do something. You know, it's like I'm pretty disciplined about that, to be honest. I go in and try and do a bit of work. If I end up coming out of there with one line that, you know, makes me sort of smile from ear to ear, then I've had a good day.
You're just trying to get out of the house, Dave. Let's face it. You just want some place to go away from the family. Come on, we know how
this I do have a TV. Yeah.
All right. Dave, can we take a break and come back and talk about the Hollywood Bowl shows and some of the other plans sure. and the new thing, the deal you got with iTunes? Because you got some very exciting stuff. And we also have a little piece of I think, what is going to be the next Depeche Mode single called Come Back, and we'll play some of that, too. We are catching up with our friend Dave Gahan. The album is Sounds of the Universe, coming out April 21st. And we'll tell you all about the Hollywood Bowl show and more when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
We are back with Dave Gahan on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. The new CD is Sounds of the Universe. The first single that we've been playing here on K-Rock is Wrong. I mean, that's the name of it.
I thought it was pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were going to throw in the soundbite.
Sorry, yeah. That would have been perfect.
Wrong!
There you go.
There must be some game show that we can get that on as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's like a deal or no deal where they pick the wrong suitcase. You just said, oh, I'm sorry, that's $1 million in the case.
Wrong!
You sucked. So you put the record out, and then you go, well, it's time to go out there and sell some to America. Let's hit the road. How much discussion do you have about how big a tour you want to do at this point in your lives?
We kind of sit down and talk about what we want to do. Yeah, our manager sits with us, Jonathan Kessler, and will talk to us about the possibilities of what we can do. And to be honest, you know, we're very fortunate that there isn't really a place in the world that we couldn't go to and play. So, you know, first of all, he'll show us a list of dates that go on to about like 2011.
Right.
And then we'll kind of home it down to about a year.
Wow.
So at the moment,
you're playing mostly stadiums, right?
We start out in Europe, yeah, in very sort of big stadiums across Europe, starting in Tel Aviv, actually, in Israel. And it's the first time that we've started a tour going outdoors and playing these kind of like big stadiums. Yeah, some of them are huge. In fact, up until this point, I think even before we put out Wrong, we put the tickets on sale and we've sold close to a million tickets already. Actually, that's right.
That one is right.
I'll never forget.
Yeah, that one is right. But we were really surprised by that, to be quite honest. But I think it shows the strength in the band for the years and years of touring and doing what we've been doing.
I'll never forget seeing you guys at Dodger Stadium. And there was some kind of a weird electrical storm in the distance. And I thought, what a light show.
There always
show.
Is.
It was like lightning strikes and stuff. I thought, this is the coolest looking thing ever.
Yeah. You know, we've had that a few times. We had that when we did the Rose Bowl as well. Actually, there was a big storm in the middle of it. But, you know, there's something about that I think it happened during Blasphemous Rumors as well.
Wow. That Rose Bowl show in 1988 I was at also, Dave, one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen in my life. And I started thinking as I saw the details of this tour, I mean, you sold out the Rose Bowl 20 years ago. You're more popular now than that, than now, yet you are only playing the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, that's a tough ticket for people to get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a small venue compared to where you could play in Southern California, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, and we wanted to do something special, and we've played some really fantastic concerts in California, and especially in LA. And so, you know, we've never done the Hollywood Bowl, and so we had the opportunity to get, you know, a couple of nights there and jumped on them, to be quite honest.
It's one of those places that it seems like bands love to play because of the acoustic and everything.
Well,
it's not just
that as well. There's a history, I guess, attached to it as well. Some, you know, it's that, you know, it was a toss up between doing that and, you know, whatever, some of the other places that we've played before. And, you know, we just felt that it was like perfect for us to do.
The Hollywood Bowl shows are August 16th and 17th for Depeche Mode. Tickets go on sale this Sunday, March the 15th at 10 o'clock. We are talking to Dave Gahan. We have a couple of minutes left. Let's play a little bit of, is this going to be the new single from the Mode album? It's called Come Back. Is that what we're listening to now, Dave?
We haven't decided yet what the next single is going to be, but this, in fact, is...
Oh, shut up, you're singing.
Come back to me. I've been waiting here patiently.
This sounds like a could be a powerful number on stage. This one sounds like it could be
shut
fun
up,
to
you're
really
singing.
Play.
Yeah. I've been waiting.
All right, back to you, Dave. What's going on with Come Back? It sounds awesome.
I haven't actually sort of heard that back on the radio at all. I was just trying to take in the fact that we'd put done that. It sounded great. It really did.
All right, you like it?
I you know, it's like, it's weird. You know, when you're working so kind of intensely on a record, you know, quite often, and then you're out suddenly doing promotion for it, you don't get the chance to actually take in what you've done. But that came such a long way, that song, from when it was initially sort of started off as a demo. And I think we did, you know, that's one of my favorites actually on the album.
Cool. Sounds of the Universe comes out on the 21st of April, as we've mentioned. We've been playing Wrong here on K-Rock, and I'm sure soon we'll be playing Come Back. You're also doing something special and something new. You're the first band to debut this season pass, I guess they're calling it, on iTunes. Do you know much about that, Dave?
Yeah, well, we've always been a band that's like said, you know, that we've embraced technology. And, you know, we had this opportunity to do this, which it enables fans to kind of have first dibs at things that are going to be happening now and in the not too distant future.
Yeah, so the deal is you buy the new album from iTunes, you pay a little bit more, and then you are first to get exclusive singles and remixes and videos. Stuff kind of keeps coming throughout the next few months from Depeche Mode. So if you're a fan, boom, you're all set up. You get everything the band's putting out, which I think is an awesome idea.
Well, I think, yeah, it's the, you know, it's the way we, it's, look, it's the way I'm beginning, to be honest, to buy a lot of the things and a lot of old stuff that I'm looking for that I can no longer find in record stores, you know.
Right.
So it's the quickest way to find what you want.
And the thing about Depeche Mode is they're never really ever done with a song because there's always 100 remixes to follow. So this
way,
if you're...
I've been listening to like at least 50 or something just recently trying to pick things. it's never ending. They just keep coming.
We can't tell you how happy we are that you're back. You know, you're one of our all-time favorite guests on the Kevin Bean Show, Dave. You sound terrific. We can't wait to see you this summer. And I hope if you have a chance when you're in town for the Hollywood Bowl shows, maybe you get a chance to stop by. We spend some more time together if you can.
Right back at you, guys. Thanks for all your support as well.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet. Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye. Enjoyed very much talking to Dave Gahan. Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl on August 16th and 17th. Tickets again go on sale this Sunday morning at 10, and we'll be giving away tickets to that show. And you get a chance to see him with our friend Jimmy Kimmel down on Hollywood Boulevard, too. So
no one's
times.
Ever had more of a British accent than Dave Gahan.
Yeah, he does.
It's almost like someone's doing a voice when you hear
he's
him.
He's very British.
He's That's very, true. Very British.
Which is funny because he's lived in the United States for so long, but his accent seems to get more pronounced each time we talk to him, which is kind of weird like that. All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday. Watchmen just kicked ass. I'm surprised, actually, it did as well as it did. Over $55 million, almost $56 million, number one by far. That, I think, is every man, boy, geek who's ever read the comic, went in droves maybe a couple times. So we're expecting a big opening weekend. Let's see how it does the rest of the next couple weeks, because that will determine whether people outside the comic book fandom are getting it or not. Like Lisa, for example, was scared off.
Yeah.
Right. Because people said that it was too confusing if you didn't know the story.
Yeah. I have a comic book geek question for you about The Watchmen. Since it's been around for so long, is there sequel material published out there that they could go to for a new movie if they chose to, Ralph?
No, they would have to make it out of whole cloth, because the only Watchmen that exists is the 12-part series that
they've already shot it.
Pretty much Zack Snyder said he wouldn't be involved in a sequel as well. So, but who knows? Because if there's money to be made...
Sure.
They will make it.
Tyler Perry's Madea goes to jail. Oh, you know what happens? They put her in jail, and she's a sassy grandma.
Yeah.
And then there's other sassy people in there, and oh, that is one sassy prison. $8.8 million made it number two. Then Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Paul Blart Mall Cop, number five. He's Just Not That Into You is number six. Coraline, Confessions of a Shopaholic, Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, and Fired Up with just $2.6 million rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. MIA is denying the name of her newborn son that had been published over the weekend regarding what she named it.
What did she name it?
Ickit.
Ickit.
Ickit. I-C-K-I-T-T. Ickit. That was the story. Apparently, she says that was an erroneous report. Her newborn son is not, in fact, named Ickit. My baby's name, she said on her MySpace blog page, is not Ickit, Pickit, or Lickit. Thank you very much. I didn't release the baby's name because I didn't think it was news. So go pick on Apple, Satchel, or Moon Unit. Referring to other celebrity baby names that we love to mock. But Ickit, not the name of the child, sadly.
I love how she doesn't think celebrity baby names are news, which is refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm dying to know now what she named the kid. By not telling us what she's named him, now my interest is more than ever.
Because you know it's something more effed up than Ickit.
Worse than Ickit. The second publicist for the Octomom has called it quits.
Since she had the kids?
Yeah.
Wow.
She got the kids. She got a publicist who was responsible for putting a lot of those early interviews together. Then the publicist realized she was getting so much hatred and backlash that she quit. So she went out and found a second publicist, and we find out today that that woman quit as well.
Wow.
Well, it's a horrible job.
That's a tough job.
Us Weekly Magazine reports Victor Munoz is his name, quit his job representing Nadia Suleiman Friday night, telling Us Weekly Magazine it just got to be too much. He said, Nadia got real greedy. This woman is nuts, he added.
Really?
Yeah. If your publicist is calling you nuts,
yeah,
you got issues.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Yes.
Not so much. Speaking of babies, Star Magazine is reporting that Salma Hayek's biological clock is already ticking again.
She wants another baby, Lisa.
That always happens. She's got an 18-month-old daughter named Valentina with her brand-new husband, François-Henri Pinault.
Oh!
But now she wants another baby. Well, at least we know she's got the milk.
That's true.
Got plenty of milk to go around.
That is true.
She's feeding African orphans. Apparently at the Oscars, she was going around people during the coffee service and, you know, saying, do you need cream? You know, she was putting a little coffee mate in there.
Yeah,
Ralph for the Hey, Gene Simmons. What's up, Gene Simmons?
How are you, Ralph?
Good, Gene. What's up?
Speaking of having plenty of milk to go around.
All right. Thank you, Gene.
Come
on. Finally.
Man.
Good news for Lisa.
But
they've taken the ultimate chick flick and now they're making a musical out of it. Ghost, the musical. You ready?
Oh.
Remember the film starring Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg?
Who can forget the scene where they're making the pot?
They're going to make some pots on stage. That's all I know while they're singing.
Is that some kind of
code? No, they actually had a potter's wheel. They were spinning clay there, making a pot. Very sexily.
Yes. Mm.
Very erotic pot making in Ghost.
How in 2009 is that the idea?
Because they've decided they're going to make a Broadway musical out of every goddamn movie that's ever been made.
Isn't that the truth?
They're up to the G's, apparently. Ghost. Yeah, apparently, it could be worse. Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics and Glenn Ballard, who wrote a lot of hit songs for people like Alanis Morissette and other people, they are collaborating on the music and lyrics.
Well,
they've got the musical chops in
there. Yeah, they're pretty talented, but still, it's Ghost, the musical.
Yeah.
Can't get away from that.
Not interested.
I guess it's just too expensive and too risky to put an unknown work up on stage.
But it's just too much downside. Old movie.
Yeah, how much?
How many people even know that movie today?
Well, here's the thing about Broadway. It's really not for the kids.
True.
Most people who go to Broadway shows are people in their 40s with disposable income who can afford the ticket prices.
Because tickets are expensive.
And so they try to get people, they tug on the nostalgia strings. You know, ever since ABBA had that smash hit with Mamma Mia, that's the direction they're going.
Why are you bad, America?
Good question.
I don't blame Patrick Swayze for trying to die before this thing gets made.
Oh.
Nice.
Ouch. Ouch.
Nice.
Not even worth it.
Right?
That was cruel for cruel's sake.
Yeah,
that's worth it. That's no payoff.
Yeah.
Let's get to a quick email before I go to celebrity birthday, shall we? This comes from listener Hank Strang. Hank, thanks for writing in. Hello, Ralph. I work as an intern at a veterinary clinic. I've always have trouble working with large birds because they're very awkward.
Come on.
Very awkward and hard to handle with care.
Wait, he wrote you this email?
Yes, he did. So in my spare time, I've designed an adjustable support that will allow us to work with these large birds in the safest possible way.
That's great news.
I was quite proud of myself until I showed it to yet another intern at the clinic, and I asked him to look at my invention and see if he could guess what it was used for.
Mm-hmm.
He was being such a smartass about it, making up all kinds of stupid uses for the device. I finally got so frustrated, I had to stop him and scream, "You dick, it's a parrot vice!"
I've got, you dick, it's a parrot vice! I've got, you dick, it's a parrot vice! It's a pair of vice.
Heartbreak turns into sheer delight, orgasmic jubilation.
Wow.
You think it's a pair of vice.
I'm giving you zero for the day.
How about listener Hank? That was strong.
Absolutely breathtaking.
You think it's a pair of vice.
Got it.
But I'm saying, you dick, it's a parrot vice.
Right.
As electrifying as a hairdryer thrown into a hot tub, my friend.
What?
That's correct. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emmanuel Lewis, Little Webster. I remember him just yesterday sitting on Dick Butkus' knee. That wasn't Dick Butkus. Who
no,
was that? It was
Alex.
The other folks.
Alice Karras.
Yeah, absolutely. He played his dad on that show. 38 years old today.
And the final question for Emmanuel Lewis, do birds ever pick you up and carry you off to their nests?
No, but that would be interesting. But that was the thing.
Remember yesterday the Gary Coleman? He almost took you out.
You want to die today?
You want to die, don't you?
He's a tough man. He's 2 feet tall.
Kara Smith from Dawson's Creek's 37. Rapper Chingy celebrates his 27th birthday. Brittany Snow from American Dreams and the upcoming Gossip Girl spinoff on CW. She is 23. And rapper Bow Wow celebrates his 22nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Very, very busy show today. I just want to make sure we're up to speed here. We gave away the Snuggie, right? Check. We did that.
Yes. Done.
Gwen Stefani interview, gave away the grand prize drawing for the No Doubt Prize.
Check.
Over the weekend, did that, right? Talked to Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode, announced the concerts coming up at the Hollywood Bowl. Did that.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Patton Oswalt, has he been here yet?
No, he's here now.
He's here now.
Yeah, he just
that's where we are then. All right.
That's where
Patton
we are.
Oswalt, yes. Joining us on the Kevin Beecher. Hey, Patton, how are you, man?
Good. I'm calling in from England. Figured I'd just call in.
You're standing here right in front of me.
Oh,
sorry. It doesn't really work.
Yeah. I wanted to have that rock star glow on me. Sorry.
Patton is one of the busiest guys going. He's got a ton of stuff going on, yet he still is able to carve out a few minutes for us on Friday, April 3rd. He is going to be one of our stars at Kevin Bean's first annual April Foolishness at the Gibson Amphitheater, which, thanks to the K-Rock listeners, has sold out and has raised a ton of money for Boarding for Breast Cancer. Thanks for doing that, Patton.
No, are you kidding? I was flattered to be asked. That was so nice.
Yeah, and you know, we're starting to hear from comedians about, like, what's the, you know, the lineup going to be, because I don't want to go after Patton. That's what we hear.
Yeah.
What?
I swear to God.
Oh, you're lying.
I'm not lying.
Oh,
if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Because everyone on the show is a closer.
Well, I know.
It's all, you're the 600-pound gorilla, though.
You're the guy. You're the one they're all afraid of.
It's a big lineup of gunslingers. That's going to be such a good show.
That is what we were hoping for, and we're just lucky that you know, guys like you said yes, because we got your Jimmy Kimmel, and that's not going to be awkward to have Sarah Silverman on the same night on the same bill now.
Easy.
That's going to be comfortable for everybody involved.
It'll be fine.
I can't help but think that they maybe planned that to add to the intrigue, because they're showmen. You know, they're about...
Yes.
How do you put on the best show? Let's break up.
For our little charity.
Maybe that tension. Have a little fight on
April
the stage.
4th, they will be back together again.
They're magicians that way.
They are.
Maybe we can reunite them on stage the way Sinatra did with Lewis and Martin on the telephone.
Oh,
you know?
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm.
Then they could just hump it out right on stage.
How you doing, Pally?
Good to see you.
So, you've been working?
I just thought that Jimmy was a big man to forgive her when she had that affair with Matt Damon, by the way. I just thought that was very generous.
Oh, dear God.
Also, Jay Moore, of course, Kevin Nealon, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Cleo and the Cleetones from Jimmy's TV show are going to be the house band that night. It's really going to be a great night, Pat, and we're looking forward to it.
God, that is an insane lineup.
It really is.
That really is a good lineup.
I'm
really
excited.
And it's funny because we started thinking about doing this, and if we had to pay the cost of every comedian, there's no possible way we could do it. But because it's for charity and you guys are so giving of your time, you know, that works out really well.
Yeah. Patton, by the way, has, as I mentioned, always has a bunch of stuff going on. He has a film coming out next month called Observe and Report, which is what Paul Blart would be if it had been a comedy. So it's about it's a
wow,
but
guys,
funny this time.
It's what Paul Blart would be if, like, Paul Schrader wrote it.
Does that make sense?
It's
super dark and violent. I wonder if it, I actually kind of hope that people that liked and enjoyed Paul Blart go, oh, another, well, this will be wonderful.
Yep.
It's almost like people who watch the show Taxi with Judd Hirsch are like, well, now I hear that that nice Bobby De Niro made a movie where he drives a taxi, so I'm very excited to go see that too, because the Reverend Jim just is cracks me up, and the family gathers around, so we're going to get the whole family, we're going to go to the Cheesecake Factory at 6, and we're going to see a 7:30 showing of Taxi Driver. We can't wait. It'll be really fun. Yeah.
This is Seth Rogen, and it looks awesome. I saw a preview before Watchmen yesterday.
Yeah.
It really looks good.
Well, it's Jodie Hill who made The Foot Fist Way, and the cast is hilarious. It's, you know, Seth Rogen is so funny in it. And Anna Faris.
Oh, she looks so great.
God, Anna Faris is such an amazing actress. And I think a lot of times, you know, she always can rise above the stuff that she's in.
Yeah, that's true.
But she needs to be handed a great comedy or a great drama. Although, in Observe and Report, they wrote this really dark, twisted role for her. She kind of walks away with a movie. But she needs to become... Someone needs to give her a great movie to be in.
Yeah.
Not that she's never been...
Well, she is in those goofy spoofs and stuff like that a lot.
But we she's haven't always really seen what she's really capable of.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know,
and she's got a killer ass too. Let's not go past that. Yeah.
You know, I think that might actually that is what is hurting her career. She's so like paralyzingly hot.
She's too hot
that people can't get beyond that yet.
Mm.
Right.
So I think someone needs to like throw acid in her face or something.
Well,
so that,
I don't know that we want to go
then,
there.
Then the I just
solution.
Want the talent to come through.
But
then
I'm saying let's not go there.
All right,
I'm saying maybe
hot,
not.
Hot and funny is a rare combination. You don't see that often.
Yeah. And blazingly hot. And then also seriously deeply funny is just it's
not since
clearly
like Kathy Ireland I think was the last one who had that combo. she had it all.
Yeah, all those Coen Brother movies she made. She was awesome.
That's right.
Patton, tell me about your dark, twisted Dark Knight take on the Cinnabon Man in this movie. What are you doing?
I am this vicious little man who runs a Cinnabon, the Toast-a-Bun stand.
Toast-a-Bun.
And basically they had, you know, a few scripted lines, but it just got down to Seth and I would just riff stuff. And all it was, and by the way, when I say riff, it was he would walk up to talk to the really sweet girl who works at the Toast-a-Bun stand, who was she's the blonde girl from Foot Fist Way, who's Jodie Hill's fiance, and she's really sweet, and I'm basically standing there being mean to Seth. And there's just these long, I doubt they'll use any of the movie, but there's long passages of me just openly telling him, I'd rather you not stand here. We're doing things and you're disturbing. And he's just trying to like fill the time because she's going to get him a bun. And yes, I'm just being mean to him. And the way he reacted to me being mean to him was great. Just the complete discomfort. I just hope for the pacing's sake they cut all of that out. At one point, there's one scene where I swear to God, we stood there for a minute not talking, staring at each other. She took her time getting the bun, knowing it would make us both uncomfortable. So then finally, Seth just says, so what are you doing? And I said, I am toasting buns. Just like this weird, which is like that was our gunfight, is these two idiots yelling at each other. Two a-holes in a mall. It was
sounds
great.
Like DVD extra stuff.
This movie comes out April 10th. So what, 2-3 weeks from now?
Very funny.
April 10th.
What are the chances, though, that you and Kevin James, your friend from King of Queens, what are the chances you would both be in mall cop movies in the same
that
year?
That is a little
so
weird. It is very, very weird, yeah. He needs to make a cartoon rat movie.
That's true.
Then you'll be even.
That'll be nice and even.
But all be even.
Yeah.
All right. We have a bunch of stuff we need to talk to Patton about. We do have to take a break. Patton, we took your advice since you were last on, and we did Rent and spent a great deal of time talking about Deathbed. We did cover that since you were last in. Brought in some clips from the movie. It was phenomenal. We want to talk about that. we also want to talk about Flight of the Conchords, which is maybe the funniest show on TV, and your hilarious turn in that last weekend. It was great.
So
and we got
fun.
So much more. Patton is here. Of course, he is one of the stars of Kevin Amin's first annual April Foolishness. Sorry to say it is sold out Friday night, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. We'll take a quick break and come back with more right after this.
Hey!
Nope. No, it doesn't go.
It doesn't need a hay at all.
It doesn't need anything.
Come on. It's
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
If you guys would just
K-Rock.
Go along with it, it would be fine.
No, it wouldn't. But it doesn't fit. It's but, not, it doesn't make sense.
It would it's not if everyone was on the same page.
That's what Hitler it's said not. To the Germans, by the way.
You guys would just go along with it. Everything would be cool.
Take 27, our friend.
Months. Just give me 2 months, right. And then I'll hear your complaints.
Right. Patton Oswalt is here, who has been very recently seen on Flight of the Conchords, yes. Not last night, but a week ago Sunday. And I think we have a clip that we need to play, and then we need to talk about the brilliance of maybe the funniest show on TV right now.
This clip is Jermaine, I think, and this girl wanted him to keep dressing up like
Art Garfunkel. They're doing a Simon and Garfunkel tribute act,
yes.
At an evening full of impersonators.
Yeah.
And the Elton John impersonator comes up to encourage them to keep doing the do.
It's really weird. Dave's right. But it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Thank you.
No, you know what? Go for it. Go for it. Reap the benefits that being in a tribute band bring. I mean, I've had women come up to me and they say, oh, Elton, I love you. You know, please have my baby. And I've had 11 children. You know, all Elton babies.
Elton John's gay, though.
Yeah, and so am I when I'm in character.
Do you mind how long do you keep this up?
I don't know. Couple of years.
He's dressing up as Art Garfunkel to sleep with a woman who's infatuated with Art Garfunkel.
She has to turn off the light so that he has to stand sort of in front of the light, so right. He's backlit just with the afro, the white man afro going on.
Very strong.
So, Pat, you're friends with those guys, and that's how they invited you to be on the show?
Yeah.
And you got to play Elton John. How bizarre is that?
Yeah. The only thing that was a little weird was I wish there was a line in there where I'm talking about how, because I have the worst fake British accent.
Yeah,
ever.
It's
so bad.
It's not accurate.
No,
it
not
moves.
At all.
It does move, if that's what you're suggesting.
But I wanted the character to talk about how, you know, it's not my fault. I look exactly like him. I sound exactly like him. Like, he's clearly in his own head that he's this perfect guy, and he's so bad. Because when I realized my accent sucked, I'm like, okay, I got to throw in a line where he thinks, oh, it's not my fault.
I mean, fate chose me.
Yeah.
Furious you were that the other Elton John impersonator was stealing your shtick because he had on the same costume.
Well, and he's always dressed from the exact same period. Elton's great. Got the Honky Chateau stuff on. Then he's got the I'm Still Standing video stuff on.
Right.
The writing on that was so terrific.
And I love really the fun. Scene at the end where you're all sitting around in the boys' apartment and you've got that just angry, beat-up Bono impersonator who's just sitting there glaring at everybody.
Wow. Big muscular Bono.
That guy, it was weird. There were all these impersonators in this scene. There was you didn't see, but there was a Tina Turner impersonator. There was a Bee Gees impersonator. And then there was the Bono guy, and I was thinking, well, the Tina Turner and the Bee Gees guys, they can probably play at a little cabaret in New York, but what is it? How do you, if you're a U2 impersonator, you like have to be in a stadium or it doesn't work. They don't drop in at little cabarets, you know.
Do their acoustic
so
set.
I talked to the guy, I said, what do you do? And he goes, I'm a Bono impersonator. I go, but where do you perform? And he said, no, I work for U2. I'm his decoy.
What?
Oh. I travel with Bono because he has his fans think he's Jesus Christ, basically.
Right, yeah.
And
he may be, by the way. We have
he might
the verdict isn't in on that. He could be the second coming.
But they, whenever his after his concerts, when he's at huge stadiums, they send that guy out with
to get
five security guards and five cameramen who they've hired, and they just have empty cameras, and they're just, you know, flashing away as he runs to the car, so all the attention goes there. And then Bono waits an hour and then just gets in a little, like, Honda Civic and drives himself away.
That's
and
genius.
Apparently whenever Bono comes to L.A., he rents some little economy car and tools around, and everyone will look at him and go, look at that idiot trying to look like he's
that
Bono.
That guy looks like Bono.
Trying to dress like Bono. And no one bothers him.
Well, they will now because you've just blown it for Bono.
But the decoy, and all he does is fly in private jets and stay in massive suites. And
that's weird.
And then he goes to concerts, and when he's done, he just does the run.
Oh, what a sweet gig.
And then I said, did it ever go wrong? He goes, it went wrong once in Canada. They didn't send enough security people out. We didn't think the crowd was going to be that huge because we were at a stadium where there's really only one exit. So there was this massive – basically, the entire concert audience went outside and waited at the door, and he goes out. And they all closed around him, and he couldn't move. And then someone in the crowd, that's not Bono, it's a fake! And then people all started, like, trying to get to him, and they had to...
To beat him up?
To beat him up. They were so angry
at him. Awesome.
Yeah, and then there was another time where he said he was in New Zealand, and Bono was like, I don't feel like going out these few nights. I'm very tired. So the impersonator went out just to go to bars and go to clubs and, you know, and the local news did a story on the Bono impersonator. Life as a Bono impersonator. So, and it was on the news every night. So on the last night, I think Bono's friend was at some club or something playing, and I was like, I should go see him and, you know, support my friend's band. So Bono just has, like, one guy that hangs out with him. Because, again, you keep attention away from you. And they went to this club to get in, and the bouncer was like, I know who you are. You're that impersonator. He goes, no, I'm actually Bono. He goes, no, you're not. I watched the news. You're not. And he couldn't get in. He thought he was even. They sent him away.
That is awesome.
But that's the guy's life. Just he gets to hang out with.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird? Like, that would be an amazing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or documentary.
Yeah.
But he'd have to start sleeping with groupies, right? I mean, that's something. That's got to be the best part of it.
Yeah.
But like, don't you wonder, I mean, it's not as extreme as the guy you're describing, the Bono guy, but I mean, there are hundreds of people in Las Vegas every single night who are impersonating somebody. I mean, that is their life. Is every single day they wake up and they're David Cassidy or somebody, whoever they are. That's their whole life. It just must be bizarre.
But do you think that for real celebrities, someone, let's say there's a singer like a Debbie Gibson or a Tiffany, and then there's also Madonna who has impersonators. Is someone like a Tiffany, are they depressed that they don't have an impersonator?
Probably.
Like,
it means you've arrived.
I didn't get to impersonator status. Yeah. I mean, I had a bunch of hits, but I didn't get to the point where someone has to get up and stick a wig on and sing my stuff.
Tiffany got a stalker, but no impersonator,
exactly.
Which is a bad trade-off, you know?
Yeah, so like... So
if
like,
you're going to get a stalker, you at least should get an impersonator thrown in the deal.
That's what I mean. They sit around going, so how you doing? Well, I got a stalker. I don't have an impersonator yet. Oh, really? I had an impersonator, but no one went to their show, so I got really depressed. Like, they don't even want to see the fake me. Oh, man.
Another time, we're going to need to take calls from people who are impersonators.
That because it is fascinating.
Have you seen what they're doing in the Imperial Palace with the enter dealers?
What?
Where you sit at a blackjack table and you have an Elvis Presley impersonator dealing to you.
Yes.
Throughout the entire casino.
Well,
they're all impersonators who are dealing cards.
Celebrity impersonating dealers.
Celebrity dealers.
Well, that's got to crack your psyche if you lose your kid's college fund to the fat Elvis. Sorry about that, man. Your kid ain't going to college. Where's that money?
And you know what else is weird? This is maybe the only example I can think of where this has happened is Tyra Banks is obviously just a RuPaul impersonator, but now it seems like she's even more popular than RuPaul. Even though she started out just imitating him. It's weird.
She must have decoys, don't you think? Tyra Banks, because she's aggressively trying to build up that weird goddess status.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She hires them, and she doesn't need them yet, but they go out all the time.
She has to have decoys.
Yeah. I hate her. She's not good.
I should just hire a decoy, even though I don't need it, just to send the poor guy out. try to get on Defamer today. Go to the Grove and cause a scene. I'm spent. Don't you know who I am? I want to be in Defamer today. Get me mentioned or you're fired. Go cause a big stink at Nordstrom.
Pat Oswalt is here. By the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but he's coming back to town to the Largo on March the 28th.
The
new Largo, as I understand.
If you can't get into the April Foolishness, actually you can't. It's sold out. There are some tickets left for Pat and Oswalt and friends at the new Largo. At the Coronet Theater. That's Saturday, March 28th. Why am I saying, like, I don't know my own schedule? Of course I know.
Yeah, I think it's...
Saturday, March 28th. I don't know who's on the show yet. It's always, like, the week of, but whoever's in town drops by. I've had the Flight of the Conchords on, and Zach Galifianakis, and Emo Phillips. So whoever's hanging around that week's going to show up. They always do.
But I think you may be the draw for a lot of people, Pat. I don't even think you have to push that Friends angle too hard.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see... Sure. My friends on the show, because I
just,
like to watch it.
Did you just say Emo Phillips?
Emo Phillips was on the show, the last show I did, and he was
he's
funny.
On every show that you do, right, though? Because he's got a lot of free time. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? Actually, nowadays, he tours a lot. He's constantly on the road, and I actually got him free on a Saturday night. And I drove him out there myself. I was so excited
Patton,
to have him
I
on.
I would like to do every show you have.
P.K.
Because I have a very free schedule.
Well, no. You don't know him. That's exactly what he sounds like.
He does. He does sound like that, and he's one of the best writers I've ever seen.
No, he's
really?
A funny guy.
He had this one joke where I can't say it in his voice, but he said, he goes, my new, he goes, I have a new girlfriend. Well, neighbor. and she sunbathes topless. And I found out that she's deaf. And I don't mean hard of hearing. I mean an entire box of M80s deaf. So again, it's not the voice, it's the words.
It's the comedy,
man.
It's the words.
It's the words.
March 28th at the Largo. Get details at patnoswell.com. Can you stick around for one more segment, Pat? Do you have the time this morning?
You had Joel McHale on here about a week ago, and didn't you let him sit in on the showbiz beat?
Yeah, stayed all the way through. He
rolled the table,
carry his dead ass through the informant, and I don't get to sit on the showbiz beat. And I say that because I love him, and we don't share any scenes together. But I do want to go on record. I carried him through the informant.
Every comedian I know is in that Steven Soderbergh movie, The Informant.
Every comedian's in there,
except me. I auditioned, they didn't let me.
That hurts.
Pat, they said yes to everyone else. Today could be your lucky day. You could roll the table from now till 9 if you play your cards right, my friend.
Okay, I'm gonna cross my fingers.
What kind of secret handshake BS you got going on over there, Pat?
I don't know.
What was that about?
I feel bad that Blinky is clearly a much more dedicated fraternity brother than I ever was.
Yeah.
And I forgot all that.
He came in to do the, I guess you're in the same fraternity, and he came in to do the secret handshake, and Patton didn't know what it was.
I'd forgotten it. I remember like half of this. There's a secret phrase and a secret handshake, and I've forgotten the handshake, and I remembered like half of the phrase.
Wow.
I'd be the worst secret agent
ever. You
are
blackballed.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do with the phrase and the handshake? What's that? How does that work for you?
It's some weird, I don't know, maybe like when the apocalypse happens, we all identify and activate.
And the time is now.
Yeah, start killing zombies, because I don't know. Fight our assemble!
Patton Oswalt is here. You can see him at the new Largo on March the 28th. That is a Saturday night. You can still get some tickets for that. And, of course, he's on the Kevin Bean First Annual April Foolishness, which is Friday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater at Universal City. And, of course, that one is completely sold out.
Oh, Patton, you can see me on Dollhouse in 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, no
getting
kidding.
Getting the living duty kicked out of me.
By her?
By
Eliza
no.
Disco?
Eliza? By Tam O'Shanter. Tam O'Shanter. I think I'm mispronouncing that. He's from Battlestar Galactica.
I'm not going to see you on that. I mean, I'm guessing that I won't be focusing on you on that.
No, you will not.
Okay.
No, not with her around.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
I love that show.
I shot the episode and I forgot I was on it because I was just staring at her.
You have the strangest filmography, by the way. The shows that you do. You have a schizophrenic IMDb is what you've got.
I
was thinking that, too.
A wandering IMDb.
He was Hammer in Balls of Fury.
Sure.
He was Techie Guy in Failure to Launch. He was Disco DJ in Starsky and Hutch. He was Larry in Calendar Girls. He was Monkey Photographer in Zoolander. He was Stingray Radio Man in Down Periscope. This guy can act as
one of my favorite shows, though. Reaper. You were great on Reaper. That was a great episode.
I played Leonard Leon Cogslitz, the presidential assassin, the guy that shot McKinley.
That's right. You were in the snow globe, right?
I was in the snow globe, and I had demon shotgun arms.
That's right.
I love that. Which is so fun.
We have Tyler Bean in tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Talking about the new season of Reaper.
Say hi for me. That guy is so cool. He's really nice. He was really nice to work with.
All right, we will tell
him. He was a nice guy.
All right, we believe you.
Sweetie.
Tell me about your arms again. You had shotgun arms?
They gave me these cool, giant latex. My arms turned into shotguns.
Nice.
And I could shoot people with them.
Yeah.
And indeed I did.
Anger management issues. He was claiming to go through therapy to get through those things. And it didn't take so well.
My rage has gotten so bad that I've grown shotgun arms. So that's got to be advanced like anger problems.
Pat, excuse me the geek fanboy question, but are you writing any more comic books? Because I know you've had some success in that department.
I'm doing an issue of a Serenity story that I pitched to Joss Whedon that he really liked. So I'm going to do that.
Great.
Kind of a little... a tribute to the Washburn character who died that I thought was so horrible that he died. And then there's some stuff.
Wait a minute. You're doing a comic book based on a guy that you were upset died in
the
comic?
Series. In the series.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm doing like a little send-off issue.
A little homage.
Just checking.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm just checking.
They don't get geek speak at
we
all.
Don't speak, no.
Yeah. We don't speak
not at
dark.
All. No. Yeah, these are real people to us. Just the same way that your cats are real people to you. And you dress them like... and then there's a thing that I've pitched to DC, and it's going through the... It's weird. It's you'd think that pitching stuff to comics, to comic book companies would be kind of easy, but it's actually kind of, they take a while.
Why? They've heard it all? Or
I don't know. Should we do that? Or this guy doesn't like that. Or this guy does. Or, you know, it's... It can be very frustrating.
That's surprising.
You need a secret handshake. That's why. You need a secret handshake.
I know. I need to learn the DC and Marvel handshake.
That's right. It seems like they need so much content. They're constantly putting stuff out. You'd think they would jump.
Yeah, but right now they've got guys like Brian K. Vaughn. You know, Brian Michael Bendis and Brian K. Vaughn and like all these guys they can just crank out. Warren Ellis apparently can do 19 titles a week. It's ridiculous.
Jeff Johns and those guys.
What's going on, Kevin? What are Pat and Ralph talking about? I don't know.
There are some people in our audience who appreciate this.
Some of us appreciate literature.
There's people appreciate it.
Kevin couldn't make his way through the whole Watchmen. Couldn't get through the soft cover.
I couldn't make it through Watchmen.
I can hear him actually. It's not Watchmen. What are you, my grandfather? You see the? I was watching the. What's the movie? Space Battles?
Star Wars.
Right. Who's the dog guy?
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good Lord.
It does sound like this is a topic for Ralph's podcast. Yes, I think that's what Kevin is suggesting.
Remember when Black Cape had the sword, the light sword? And he was just yelling. He's always yelling. Is there a megaphone in that helmet? He sounds weird.
Patton, we need to take a break, but if you'd like to stick around for showbiz.
I would.
We would like to invite you to do that.
Thank you.
All right, well. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the beat, let me give away some tickets. We've got a 4-pack of tickets. That means you and 3 friends get to attend the red carpet world premiere of I Love You, Man, starring Jason Segel and Paul
Rudd. Looks funny.
Looks very funny. It's in theaters on March the 20th, but you get to see it before anybody else does. If you're one of the first 5 callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First 5 callers, you get a 4-pack of tickets to go see I Love You, Man.
I saw that last month. It is indeed very funny.
Well, there you go.
It's very, very funny.
Right from Patton Oswalt's mouth. Right. He knows stuff.
Go see it.
He knows stuff.
He was in a big movie about a rat that cooked.
He was.
That's all you need to know. Great story coming out about Britney Spears' tour. You know, she's on tour right now. Her comeback tour.
Sure.
She has, I don't know, like 20 costume changes, I think, during the circus tour that she's putting on. Well, she was in Florida. And as we know, everything good happens in Florida.
All crazy people are there. Mm-hmm.
She was doing a number called I'm a Slave for You.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She finished the song, was being lowered beneath the stage for one of her many costume changes, but they forgot to turn off her live headset mic.
Uh-oh.
I love that.
And reportedly, she shouted into the microphone screaming at one of her costume attendants, my...
Blank?
Blank was hanging out. Meaning her nether regions, the mud flaps.
Hasn't that happened 50 times before?
Usually she's getting out of a limousine when she shows it off to people, but apparently it was hanging out on stage.
Oh, no.
Excellent.
The crowd burst into uproarious laughter, according to onlookers.
And now she has to do it every show.
That's right.
They expected.
People are saying that's the most entertaining she's been in a long time.
I love the phrase, they were lowering her beneath the stage. Like, I just picture her in a harness. They're just going to hose off the mediocrity and then just put a new costume.
I think it's such one of those, like a trap door, like a platform that goes beneath. She changes, then it comes back up.
We were lowering her into the disinfectant.
Why was her headset mic on, though? I was wondering, because doesn't she lip sync to most of her songs when she's up there? Why bother?
I thought that thing was full of candy and gum.
Could you mean vagina?
I think that's what I meant.
The feline word for vagina is what I was referring to.
Okay.
That's what she said.
That's awesome.
Nice.
The P word.
Tonight's
the night. Dancing with the Stars, boys and girls.
Woo! Well, why haven't you been on that show yet?
Yeah, how come you haven't been Dancing with the Stars?
How did I miss that?
Jeffrey Ross could dance. You sure could get up there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude.
You seem much more nimble than Jeffrey Ross.
I would look like a baby elephant on an electrified floor if I was on Dancing with the Stars.
He's a way bigger dude than you.
As I've often said, I look like I dance like a special ed kid who's been given a sparkler. So that would not be good.
That would be entertaining. I would actually watch that.
Well, for those who have been following, you know we had a couple preseason injuries this year. Which, again, is always, that's why I always say the preseason is just too long, man. We should just get right to the regular season because that's the risk you run. Jewel and Nancy O'Dell both had to be pulled from the competition because of injuries. Nancy O'Dell tore a meniscus in her knee. Jewel had fractures in both tibias.
Oh, my God.
Dear God.
What?
How do you, I don't understand how you do that with both of them.
How do you, what did
fractured
she do?
Fractured both of her legs while rehearsing.
Oh my gosh!
Apparently, her instructor's a ninja.
Yeah,
she's been trying to kick through wood or something.
Oh my god!
So they've replaced her with Holly Madison, Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend from The Girls Next Door. Playmate Holly Madison and Melissa Rycroft, who was the girl who got dumped by that guy on The Bachelor this year.
Well, if your fame involves more than two prepositions to describe who you are, then you're probably not famous. Yeah. She's the girl who got dumped by the guy who did. All right, stop. You're not famous. You're not a star.
Is there a guaranteed consolation? You get another reality show if you lose on one show on ABC? Is that a policy they have to put them on?
Apparently. Hmm. Well, look, the ratings for Bachelor has been huge, so I guess they're trying to get some residual glow.
Yeah, I think they're trying to. Slut.
You pointed out earlier that all these other contestants have had 3 weeks of rehearsal. She found out, Saturday that she's dancing tonight.
Yeah. But she was a former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, so they're assuming, I guess, she can pick up choreography.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Why are you
gracious.
Coming at Melissa like that?
I got more if you need it.
And tragic news. It's official. This will be Lauren Conrad's last season on The Hills.
No!
Jesus Christ, no! Take me!
Executive producer Liz Gately has confirmed the rumors that were first published in 17 magazine last week. Luckily, I read 17, so I was aware. She is not expected to make a return once the show ends this season.
No! God! No! God! Please, no! No!
Sixth season without LC.
No!
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
But what is she, has she announced her plans? Like, oh, I've got to leave the show because I have to do blank. What do I have to go do?
Apparently, she's got a job as Britney's vagina wrangler for the rest of the tour, so she's going to be keeping
very busy.
Undercover.
The way wrangler.
I don't know what her plans are. Her plans are hopefully to slip into obscurity.
How would you wrangle
I don't know
that thing?
She's been doing for the last six years.
A whip and a chair.
Yeah, with a taser. And a red cape.
Today's celebrity birthday is Emmanuel Lewis, a little Webster from the TV series of the same name. He is 38 years old today.
Wow.
Remember, he's one of those guys that we had, and you knew he was little, but we had him in on the show one time. Remember, Kevin? And we were stunned at how tiny he was.
Yeah,
I mean, he's mini-me tiny, right?
I couldn't see him over my monitors.
Yeah.
Literally. Wow. Couldn't see him.
Which is fine at 12.
Right.
Yeah.
When your career is playing 8. Not so cool at 38. Now you're hoping to get laid.
At best, he can pass for 27.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he seems like one of those child stars who came out of it pretty healthy and happy. I mean, you never hear about him getting in any trouble. He seems to be in good humor. You never hear about drugs or alcohol or crime or anything like that with
him. He was on the first season of The Surreal Life. He seemed pretty stable.
He did, actually.
He actually was sort of like telling, or maybe it was the second season, but of all the guys, he seemed to be like, well, everyone just calm down. You're on TV. You're getting paid. Like,
Wasn't he Michael Jackson's puppet at one point?
He was.
I don't believe he was a puppet. I believe he was a constant companion.
Well, if you
much like Bubbles
puppet,
the chimp.
Did Michael have his hand up?
Hey!
He was a living Tomaguchi. All right, please, let's have a little respect.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He was a fashion accessory. He was like an extra epaulette.
He was like a watch fob.
Exactly.
A little watch fob.
I don't even know that word.
Sorry, Emmanuel. I love you, dude.
Yeah. Kara Smith from Dawson's Creek's 37. Brittany Snow, who will be seen in the upcoming spinoff from Gossip Girl on the CW, is 23. Rapper Bow Wow, formerly Lil Bow Wow, is now Big Bow Wow. He's 22 years old. And speaking of rappers, Chingy celebrates his 27th birthday today.
Chaka Zulu!
It's all about the Chingy.
Chingy!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday afternoon, this morning on the show, we announced Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl. Two big dates, August 16th and 17th. Tickets are on sale Sunday morning at 10, and we're giving them away all this week on K-Rock. You know, Kevin, we also spoke with Dave Gahan this morning.
Yes.
And or as he says, Dave Gahan. And we have highlights of that if you missed it. The great Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode coming up in about 15 minutes on Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde.
First, we almost died, and Bean is very upset that he did not know about it because he wanted to celebrate the death of human beings.
Well, I'm not saying I want to celebrate. It says, how about a little heads up if the Earth is going to be destroyed by an asteroid? That's all. Maybe you heard about this story. Maybe you didn't, but apparently it became very, very close. Only 48,000 miles from Earth, an asteroid whizzing by us in space last weekend. And I want to know what the plan is in place in the event that this happens again, as it most surely will. So we asked producer Alex to line us up an expert, and we have Dr. Don Yeomans on the line from NASA's Near Earth Object Program. He is with JPL in Pasadena. Hey, Dr. Don. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, this is not uncommon that space bodies will get this close to one another, right?
Yeah, we'd expect an object about this size to get this close every 1 or 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Okay.
At 48,000 miles, I mean, that is really close. It seems to me like there would only have to be a difference in the trajectory by, you know, a degree or so for it to plunge right into Earth.
Well, yeah, that's true, but... We haven't, you wouldn't, like I said, you wouldn't expect to get hit this close every couple of years, and you wouldn't expect to hit from an object this size but every couple of hundred years.
Okay. How much notice was there that this one was coming so close to Earth among you scientific types?
Well, it was discovered on the 27th of February, and then we did the orbit and determined that it was going to make a close approach on the 2nd of March, so there was a couple of days heads up.
And is there a plan where you all go, okay, don't tell a soul?
No, everything's in the open. We put everything out on our website as soon as we know it. This object was about 20 meters in size, you know, about a fifth the size of a football field. So it wouldn't have survived the atmosphere, and it would have been a heck of a light show, but it wouldn't have caused a real problem.
Oh, well, Bean thought we were all going to die.
No.
Bean.
I got the impression that, and maybe it was from some of the reports that I read that were erroneous, Doctor, but it sounded like had something like this hit the Earth, it would have been like a nuclear bomb going off.
Well, it would have been the better part of a so-called megaton, which is a million tons of TNT equivalent. But it would have been high in the atmosphere, and this would have shattered, and it wouldn't have caused much of an effect on the ground.
Well, that is either disappointing or exhilarating news. I can't tell which. Now, we used to hear back in the 90s, it seemed like there was a lot of awareness of these satellites and asteroids and whatnot that were coming toward Earth, because we had the Armageddon movie and the Deep Impact movie. And back then, people used to talk about, well, what is the plan in the event that something like this actually happens? Has science addressed that problem for real? And do you have a plan if you have enough notice that something is going to hit the Earth?
Yeah, the key word is if we have enough notice. I mean, if we have 5, 10, 15 years notice, and that's our goal, is to find the threatening objects well in advance, then we have the technology to deal with them. You could simply run into them with a spacecraft and slow them down a few millimeters per second so that in 10, 15 years they wouldn't hit the Earth. We've already demonstrated that technology. Well, we ran into a comet on July 4th of 2005, and we would use the same technology and the same navigation techniques to do it again if we had to.
You didn't have to fly and land and drill like Bruce Willis did in Armageddon?
No, we never gave Bruce a call.
Ah.
But do you literally just fly a spaceship into it? And is something like that big enough to knock it out of its approach?
By far the most likely object to threaten with an impact would be a small one. So for the small ones, you know, 200 meters or less, you could simply just run into it, and if you had enough time, the deceleration of the asteroid in 10 or 20 years would be enough so that it would miss the Earth.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to destroy it. You just have to throw it off a little.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, but you're
right.
Saying when you have 5 years. Right now it sounds like you have 2 weeks.
Or a weekend.
Yeah. So how far away are we from that?
Well, the current charter for NASA's Near Earth Object Program is to find the big ones, those larger than a kilometer or so, which would cause a global problem.
Okay.
And we found almost 90% of those. So,
oh.
So then the next generation search would look for the 140-meter-sized objects and larger.
The little tiny ones that no one cares about.
And then perhaps the third generation, we would look for the really small ones, but there's, you know, there's thought to be about a million of these things in near-Earth space.
Well, you're not putting our minds at ease, I'll tell you that right.
Doctor, it does sound like if a big enough one came toward Earth, it could kill everyone on the planet, though. That I still have that dream, right? That can still happen.
Well, I don't think we have one large enough that could actually do that, and there's certainly nothing out there that's threatening of that size.
And, okay. And you would know far enough in advance?
Well, yeah. I mean, the big ones are easiest to find, and we found almost all of them.
Okay.
And we run their motions 100 or 200 years into the future, and none of them present a problem.
Now, when you say almost all of them.
he said 90%, Kevin, so we can only get killed by one of the 10% he missed.
These are the ones big enough to destroy Earth, and you're 90%.
Or half of Earth.
Right?
Well, we're still looking for the last 10%.
Okay, that's
well,
good news.
It, people.
Well, we better let you off the phone then. It sounds like maybe that's a better use of your time today. I'm so glad we had you on, Dr. Don Yeomans from JPL, because honestly, we did have this discussion last week that in the event that something like this is going to happen, we wondered if there was, you know, some sort of a policy of secrecy where you don't release it because you're trying to avoid panic, and I was hoping that wasn't the case.
No, that's never the case.
Because Bean likes panic.
No, everything's out there. Everything's open.
Yeah.
Good deal. Good. All right. Dr. Dodd, thanks so much for coming on K-Rock today. We enjoyed it.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye.
You know that TV show Reaper is back on the air. Actor Tyler Labine joins us tomorrow morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Also, the Pitbull of Comedy. Bobby Slayton is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
Kevin and Bean, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Kevin and Bean?
That's him.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? We take a look every Monday. Watchmen. A lot of people watched Watchmen.
Whoa! How do you do it?
The men especially like to watch men.
Wrong!
$55.7 million made it number one at the box office by a long shot.
That dude, does he have to be naked? Does he have to be 50 feet tall and naked?
Yes.
Through the whole movie?
Yes. That's the character, Kevin.
All right.
If you'd ever finished reading Watchmen, the comic book, you would know that.
All right.
It is still, as impressive as that may sound, about $10 million less than they were expecting the movie to make.
Really?
Mm. So it's underperforming expectations, but still number one by a long shot. The only one close enough to come in at number two is Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, came in at $8.8 million. As I said, taking the number two slot. Then Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, Confessions of a Shopaholic, and Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, coming in at number nine, Fired Up, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week. And bad news for Bean.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
I'm familiar with Disney star Brenda Song.
No. Of course, yeah. Isn't she Wendy Wu?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Bean doesn't have kids, and so shouldn't know any of this. This is why it's creepy.
Yeah. I believe she's on The Secret Life of Zack and Miri, or whatever that show is over there.
Secret Life of Zack and Miri, make a porno.
Zack and Cody.
I could be wrong. I think she did start off on that show, and then she went off to do the Warrior Princess movies, and now she's like a big star all over the place.
Anyway, Brenda Song has won a $100,000 lawsuit against Vibe Media. Apparently, Vibe posted a picture of Brenda in an ad for an adult escort agency in the back of the LA Weekly. Saying you can get girls like this.
Awesome.
I think we just crossed the line.
To love you long time. Apparently, Brenda caught wind of it and sued the company. She was not pleased, nor was Disney for that matter, her image being used to advertise adult activities. The Disney rep said, "This is an unauthorized use of Brenda Song's image, and her personal attorney has issued a cease and desist order to the advertiser." And then they later brought a lawsuit, winning her $100,000. Brenda said, "As a role model to millions of young people, I feel I have to take a stand against this company in regard to the exploitation of my image." The whole thing started when Bean wrote a strongly worded letter after hiring one of these girls and realizing it was not, in fact, Wendy Wu, fighter for Japanese freedom, over the hell show Bean thinks she's on. Bean, how many hookers have you been to? Lifetime, you guess.
In my whole life?
Ballpark.
Counting them all?
Ballpark.
Just ballpark.
Seriously.
Zero.
Come
not,
on.
Not,
seriously.
Not
I'll,
one
I'll
time,
give
not,
you my number if you give me yours.
I'm telling you the actual truth is not
I'm
one
guessing
time ever.
You dwarf my number.
What number, Ralph?
Well, two. I've been to two. I was a young man. I went twice. One to a young lady who made a house call, and once in a massage parlor to a young, beautiful African-American girl who gave me crabs.
Oh!
Yeah, that was bad.
Good times.
So there is my honest answer, Bean. What's your honest answer?
The truth is, never in my whole life.
Please.
You guys are going to be shocked by this, but I've never had to pay for it. It's just the fact.
That's because...
Never had to pay for it, because all the ladies are always buzzing around Bean.
No, he's
absolutely.
Never...
Well,
he's
just
never,
because he doesn't have it.
He's a virgin, that's why. It doesn't work. His wiener doesn't work. A lot of people don't know that.
If Brenda's song, I mean, if you could get her in the back of the LA Weekly, I'd make that call, but that's apparently not being offered.
You think Bean was just sort of asexual when he was a young man?
Yes.
Just didn't really have all that much interest. Was too busy counting pie out to 4,000 places or whatever he was doing.
I don't think he has any idea what it's all about.
Maybe that.
Oh, maybe in the 70s, guys, but come on, get up with the 90s. Times have changed.
Well, good point, Murray.
Get up to the 90s. Times have changed. And Britney Spears in concert in Tampa, Florida, Sunday night. Was performing in her new circus tour that's traveling around the country as we speak. Her microphone was left on as she was being lowered underneath the stage for one of her many costume changes. Apparently, she was unhappy with how the costume she was currently wearing fit because everyone heard over her headset mic, "My bleep was hanging out." The bleep being the feline slang word for her female genitalia.
Sure.
Vagina.
Which she said loudly into the microphone headset and went out over the speakers.
And everyone heard it?
Everyone heard it.
Nice. Well, everyone saw it. They might as well hear it.
Witnesses say the crowd simply burst into gales of laughter.
Vagina.
So.
How do you go back up after that?
When your mic was... Like, hey. She has shame, Kevin. Yeah, like, she has shame.
That's a good point.
Today's celebrity...
Did you mean vagina?
I did, yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Emmanuel Lewis, Little Webster. 38 years old today. Kerr Smith, who played the gay dude on Dawson's Creek, he's 37. Chingy celebrates his 27th birthday. While we're talking about rappers, Bow Wow was 22. And Brittany Snow from American Dreams, soon to be seen on the spinoff of Gossip Girl on the CW. She is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.